much about.
Give it up! What? Woo! Do not leave a brother hanging.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
You're wrong. Excuse me. Unless you've got the document to show me, this discussion shouldn't be happening. Show me where it says that.
My first memory is I just love the buffets in Las Vegas. I love the flan. It has a lot of sugar. It tastes less fattening because it's European dessert. And then I just like some of the syrup. Flan syrup.
That kid is like 5 feet of pure Columbine.
And now,
I'd need a flowchart to explain all the ways in which that was ridiculously insensitive.
Our feature presentation.
I love Doto. I miss him.
I do too.
We never get a hold of him.
Where is he now, Bean? You know, overseas?
I think he's back in America right now. We did exchange emails recently when I was inquiring on his dating status. And he seemed fairly aware and fairly lucid. But see, Dewan is different from some of the other kids that we've become friends with on the show.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Doto is different than, say, someone like Dewan who calls us. Doto, we have to go searching for, and we have to put in a request weeks in advance to so he can clear his busy schedule, Kevin and Bean.
Right, and then we have to send out a team to try and locate him because the email and the phone calls don't work.
Right.
Exactly, yeah. But, we're about due. We're about due for a Doto update. I missed that dude, too. 1-800-520-1067 is your telephone number. Again, today, the toll-free number that you call us to get on the air for Kevin and Bean's What to Do Nephew. Real quick before we go, got no death for you today in Bean's Death Corner.
Wow.
But I do have a hilarious 911 call, if anyone would like to hear some of that.
I know, I hate 911 calls,
well,
but if they're
funny.
Well,
it didn't end in death.
Yeah, did it end in death?
No.
It did not.
Okay.
Then I'm okay.
And we're good.
It ends with the person calling 911 getting arrested, which I think is not something you see every day, but I think you'll enjoy it.
You've called 3 times. What do you need? I called you back, you don't answer. What is your emergency? What can the police department help you with at this very moment? What do you need?
I don't answer because my telephone is off.
Okay, well, it's not off because you keep dialing 911 and not answering. You hang up and you're not there.
By the way, we always talk about what saints these 911 operators are, how it seems like they almost never lose their temperature or raise their voice. That's about as angry as a 911 caller ever gets, which is just frustration more than anything else.
And I'm surprised because I know that if you call 911 and hang up, I think they're supposed to come out to your house.
Yes.
Yes, that's right.
And I'm surprised that she's still on the phone, like find out if it's an emergency or not, and then just move on. But she's not, no, tell me why you called.
Well, this is the third time that the woman has called, too. So she's frustrated. But wait till you hear why she called. I think it's a very legitimate reason. I think, Lisa, it's going to be a call you're going to be making soon.
All right. What do you need us to do for you right now? I have an emergency call on the other line.
I need you to get a husband.
You need to get a husband.
Yeah.
You're calling 911 to get a husband.
Well,
yes, you know you can get arrested for dialing 911. Do you know you can get arrested for dialing 911?
Let's do it.
You want to get arrested for dialing 911?
Yes, let's do it.
Let's do it. Let's get it on.
And let's think about why she would say that. Because what happens when they arrest you? They send a police officer out to your home. So maybe she's thinking, this is the guy. I'm going to have a young, handsome officer showing up in uniform.
Absolutely.
Okay. You stay on the line, okay?
Thank you, dear.
All right. Audrey? Okay, we're going to send you an officer, okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Is he going to have a boombox and take it all off?
I think she's about 56 or something like that. I saw the mugshot and
hot, right? I can tell from the voice.
Oh, way hot.
Way
hot. Never smoked either. You can tell.
Definitely having trouble with the gentleman. But anyway, look, 911 may not be the catch all for all your problems. Okay,
I thought it was
a dating service.
I'm surprised that she didn't say. Can you send over a hot one? Like, I'm surprised she didn't try to specify.
Order it up. Because
some of them are a little pudgy, let's be honest.
Exactly. Anyway, see, no death today. I would like it noted for the record that nobody died in the open of the show today.
Bean is disappointed, but let's move on. 1-800-520-1067 is the number. It is Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do? What it do? What it do?
What
What it do, nephew?
Kevin Amin T-shirt up for grabs just for your time and your telephone call today. We'll start with line one, calling us with some bad news about his day yesterday. Hey, Johnny, what's going on? Welcome to the show. What it do?
Hey, what it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
What's going on?
So I was driving down the 405 yesterday. Just as it happened to shut down for countless hours.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, there was a giant accident, and they shut all the lanes of the freeway. So the people who get stuck there are there for hours. What,
wasn't it about 7 hours, Lisa, it was shut down yesterday?
I don't think it was that long, but I think it was like three.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Okay, so what happened to you?
Well, it felt like seven, but about 30 minutes into it, past all exits, stuck in the middle lane, I get hit with the fear.
No, that's when, for those of you that don't know, that's when there's no option of waiting. That option, waiting, you know, where you go, hey, I'm going to wait till I get to a restroom. That option does not exist.
It's gone.
And so you're stuck.
I'm stuck.
Did you get in someone else's car, at least?
Oh, no, no. Well, I have a truck, and I got hit with this cold sweat, just this panic attack.
Yes.
I jump into the bed of my truck, kind of lay down. Grab a bucket and handle my business.
Nice.
Look,
at least the fear. A bucket and the bed of your truck. That's better than most people.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. Hey, you had no options. I mean, you're stuck. I mean, look, nobody plans out 3 hours in advance where they're going to poop. So you did the best you could under the circumstances. Well done, Johnny. Thanks for the call. Let's try Mike. I think he's got a complaint about the Kevin Amin Show. Hi, Mike. Thanks for calling. What's going on, man?
Good morning, Kevin Bean. Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
What's up?
Nothing will brighten my day like hearing big booty bitches.
Oh.
All day yesterday, my coworkers were so excited with me. Please, let me get a little taste of it today.
You watched the video too, right, though? That was a strangely worded question, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Just the inflection. The inflection was all off. You have to watch the video because it is spectacular. These two guys in the living room, and they're singing their smash hit Big Booty Bitches and dancing like crazy men. It's the best thing I've ever seen.
One, two, three. I got big booty bitches, big booty bitches. I got big booty bitches, big booty bitches. Ooh, big booty bitches, big booty bitches. Ooh, big booty bitches, big booty bitches.
Okay, so right now, we are at 23 seconds. There's another 5 minutes. And it doesn't.
Yeah, this was great. The acoustic version of yesterday.
Here's where
it
changes entirely.
I got big booty bitches. Big booty bitches. I got big booty bitches. Big booty bitches.
I heard from a listener yesterday who said that this song is perfect for one reason. If you ever get another song stuck in your head that you can't forget, you play this one, and then you'll get this one stuck, but at least you won't have the other one.
Yeah, that's true. But this one, once it gets front and center, it ain't moving. That big booty bitch is staying right there front and center, and you're screwed.
You can see the video at KevinAmin.com if you haven't checked it out yet, though. And there's all sorts of remixes, and there's punk versions now, and there's acoustic versions.
Thrash metal. Great. Everybody's doing it.
Thanks for the call, Mike. Hey, let's do one more. Let's do Jake. This is a call especially for the long, long, long time Kevin and Bean listeners with a name you haven't heard in a while. Hey, Jake, welcome to the show. What it do?
What it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
What's going on?
Hey, I was curious. You're talking about catching up with people. Why not catch up with Fat Tad?
300 pounds. Oh,
yep. That's Tad.
300 pounds. Oh.
I saw Tad at the Weenie Roast this past Saturday.
It's Big Tad, by the way.
Big Tad.
You might as well be Fat Tad, though. Yeah, Tad does a key. For folks who don't recognize the name, who haven't been with us that long, and our affiliates around the nation, Tad worked on this show for a number of years and then left. And we fell out of touch with him for a while, but now, you know, thanks to Facebook, you can't really avoid anybody anymore. But he did show up at the Weenie Roast this past Saturday, and he stood there, and he's just as fat as ever, as dumb as ever.
No.
And, what?
No, he wasn't.
What? What are you talking about?
He wasn't as dumb as ever.
Really?
Why? What happened?
He stood there in front of me and said, you know what? I was an idiot. And I had some great opportunities and I blew them. And I understand that now. I was like, who am I talking to? Because these words were coming out of Fat Tad's mouth.
Wow.
And Big Tad.
Fat Tad really, he used to like do everything wrong and he was really dumb and he never understood what was
and
going on.
And he had tattitude.
And he had a lot of tattitude, which is his attitude, which is just like he was way too big for his britches. Right. And it was just, it was an unbelievable transformation. And that got me to thinking about, Bean, we should put up the old Fat Tad in his underwear shows. Remember those?
This is embarrassing. I'm not happy with this. I do not want to do this anymore. I got my gut hanging. I don't want to do this. I seriously don't.
We're gonna put that
I don't want to do this. Seriously.
Those are the classic interviews.
Yeah, we'd put him in his in his underwear only, and then we put him like on a bus stop or something out in public for 30 minutes and just have him talk. Just talk,
Jake,
about whatever.
What made you think of Big Tad today after being off the air for so long?
Well, I was thinking about him last week when you guys were interviewing somebody else, and it reminded me of something that Tad used to do, and another intern used to have that you'd send out and do funny stuff. So.
Sure.
Right. Here's Tad with the great Dave Duchovny. This is one of his all-time greatest moments, I think, when we sent him to interview the star of The X-Files at the time.
Okay, now, question is, do you believe in extraterrestrial beings out there?
Well, that is just the lamest question. My God. Can't you think of anything better than that?
Would you like to go to outer space? I don't know.
Oh. I'm just sitting there hoping you get abducted.
Thank you very much for the call. By the way, just by sheer coincidence, about 30 minutes ago, Tad tweeted a brand new Big Tad fan page.
Yes. What he wrote.
This is where I'm going to put all my hijinks on. Hope you enjoy and hope I can entertain.
Please forward that to me.
Yes, I will.
As I would like to watch all of his videos. All right. So anyway, Bean, I think it's possible that he's grown up a little.
People
How
do.
How about that?
How old would you guess he is now?
Oh, 34?
Yeah, that's probably about that. Yeah. Probably about that.
Well, I thought he was younger, but yeah.
Okay,
but
he's
working real jobs now.
Yeah,
though.
He is.
Maybe
How about
that's
that?
Why he has the appreciation.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
You strike me as someone I wouldn't enjoy, but others might.
That's correct, yes. You would not. The A-Team comes out tomorrow.
Yes.
Very excited about that.
It looks fun.
The guy that plays Murdoch is the guy from District 9, Charlto Copley.
Yes.
And we're going to talk to him today. Very excited about that. We have Dr. Drew on the program because it's Thursday.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We have Lewis Black, who is a comedian who has a TV show coming out. And then I guess you can buy it on DVD like 2 or 3 days later.
That's right. The new trend, yes.
It's a weird trend, don't you think?
A little bit.
You think it kind of discourages the watching of the TV?
A little bit. It does, especially since you know the DVD is going to have stuff that didn't make the TV show and extras
right.
and whatnot. But I guess what happens for most people that aren't paying that much attention is they see that and they go, oh, my God, that was so funny. I wish I could. Oh, wait, I can.
Yeah.
And then they can go out and buy it. Maybe that's the thought.
It's called Stark Raving Black.
<He's>
which
great.
That was my nickname when I was at a radio station in Atlanta. Green Day Rock Band on today's program.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What the hell are you people doing with Farmville?
Great question. All day long yesterday, I fought the urge to look up Farmville because I only know what I've heard from you, Kevin, about it.
Oh.
And I decided to wait and let Dave explain it to me rather than spoil it with facts.
It is inexplicably huge.
The biggest waste of time on the internet, you'd say?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's like 40 million people play, you know, some ridiculous number of people, and it's more boring than it sounds, and it's called Farmville.
Yeah.
So we got that. We got Bean's Mexican Haircut, which is a good band name, and we're going to do Kevin and Bean Wake Up. We're going to send somebody to Lollapalooza in Chicago.
Very sweet.
How about that? So that's
Chicago, home of the Stanley Cup winning Chicago Blackhawks?
Yeah. Yeah, they won in overtime.
Good game last night.
In Philadelphia. That was it.
Aww.
So they're in Philadelphia. They win the cup. And so the fans there are pretty antagonistic. They're Philadelphians, for God's sakes. And they have to celebrate on the ice. They hold up the cup. The commissioner comes out. The entire place boos him, which was great.
Stay classy, Philadelphia.
Oh, my God. It was just brutal. But it was a great game, right?
It was a great game. Philadelphia, Lisa, came back with 4 minutes left. They're down 3-2. They came back with 4 minutes left and tied the thing up. The place just went bananas, as you can imagine. You feel like the Flyers have got the momentum, but then when overtime, you know, when overtime began, it was all Chicago. So, it was a great game and two great teams, too. Philadelphia has nothing to be ashamed of. They had an amazing season that went on far past anyone thought it would with the earlier rounds of the playoffs.
Now hockey's gone. What a bummer. Now I have to wait till, Bros and Fury, which is the first game in Vegas, which I always attend. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We will come back with the Showbiz Beat.
Ralph Garman is out today. It's Kevin and Bean here with the Showbiz Beat. First look at what's going on in Hollywood for a Thursday. You know, I had a thought the other night while I was watching Glee. First of all, boy, is Omar miserable right now.
Yeah.
And second of all, this is just a half-baked theory, but tell me if this makes any sense to you. You know, American Idol had terrible ratings this year, right?
Right.
Relative. I mean, it's still one of the top shows on television, but relative to its past success, American Idol was way, way down.
Right.
And I was thinking, for me, the contestants on American Idol seemed so much worse this year, and I think it's in part because there were so many super talented young singers on Glee. You have something to compare it to. You have other young people who can sing and entertain who are really, really talented. Then you flip over to American Idol and it just seems super, super flat.
That's an interesting theory. Yeah.
Think that's possible?
I could see that.
Yeah, but they're not amateurs, though, most of them.
No.
But they're not star. When Glee came on, you know, you never heard of any of these kids before. All of a sudden, you get these young, fresh-faced kids who can really sing their asses off. And then you flip over, you got freaking Lee DeWise or whatever the idol's name is, who you wouldn't be, you know, you would never look twice at. So I don't know. That's my theory. That is not the theory of Gary McCulloch of the Christian Newswire, who says that the slippage of American Idol this year was because they hired a gay judge.
Oh, God.
Are you kidding?
I hate these people.
Here's the quote. It actually drives away a significant market share of parents and teens who used to watch the show together until mom and dad decided that the subtle promotion of an alternate lifestyle to their kids was not worth the entertainment trade-off. Now, is there one parent out there? There probably is. Who said, I'm sorry, we're not allowed to watch American Idol anymore because they hired a homo. I mean, did that happen?
I would imagine. Yeah, there's all kinds of stupid people, but I can't imagine that it's in big numbers.
Well, her show certainly is affected by the fact that she's gay. Yeah. She's terrible ratings, right? Not so much.
Is it a subtle promotion of an alternate lifestyle if you give a gay a job? Are you promoting the lifestyle by giving them a job?
That's a really good point.
No, you're
so
not at all.
So they don't want you to give a gay a job. I think you're right.
Essentially, that's what they say. Okay, but wait, there's more. Mr. McCulloch goes on, quote, perhaps next we'll see the pro-pedophilia group NAMBLA using its influence in Hollywood to have Dancing with the Stars seat Roman Polanski as a judge. So now we're equating gays with pedophiles and rapists is what we're doing there.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's your friend Gary McCulloch from the Christian Newswire.
He's a good Christian.
Are you saying I'm gay?
Actress Gemma Arterton.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Who,
Prince of Persia, right?
I think she's the woman for me. I mean, listen.
Does
I'm married,
she think that?
I'm married and I'm happy. But she really needs me.
Does she?
Yeah, I think so. She's way super hot. Yeah, she's Prince of Persia, and she played this princess that you couldn't help but fall in love with when you look into
when
her
you
eyes,
gaze at her. Mm-hmm.
And by the way, it's true. It's very true. She's super hot. Got married.
So it doesn't need you so much.
Super proud. Well, she doesn't know it yet.
Okay.
She doesn't know I'm the one, but she got married.
This guy's a placeholder, Lisa. That's obvious even to me.
She's biding her time till I'm available. That's all. Super private ceremony last Saturday in Spain. She managed to keep photographers away by just telling her closest friends like a day or two before. So
smart.
She's something. And then, and this is the funny part of the story. This guy either has a sense of humor or he's a complete loser. One of the two. Because villagers cheered the couple as they cruised the town in a gold convertible. That's awesome. How gaudy can you get a gold convertible?
That's great.
So that's either funny or she needs to kick him to the curb right now. But she's just waiting. She's just waiting for me.
So you're next is what you're telling me.
No question.
Couple of Tom Cruise stories for you. Just ahead, this is the right kind of promotion just ahead of Tom's new movie Night and Day, which is coming on screens later this month. First of all, more is being revealed about his performance at the MTV Movie Awards where he came out and did that dancing and singing number.
Mm-hmm. How does he do it as an advanced age?
That's a great question, by the way. I'm glad you asked
that. It's not.
Apparently, they were able to keep this thing under wraps. Tom Cruise was working on that dance routine for 3 months, and nobody knew about it. It was a surprise. It did not get spoiled ahead of the MTV Movie Awards the other night.
Hmm.
He came out as his character Les Grossman from the Tropic Thunder movie, and the performance proved so popular, and so many people were talking that now Paramount and MTV Films are talking about developing a film around that character.
I would watch it.
I would too.
I don't know.
So funny.
I
love
the character. He was so great in Tropic Thunder, but would you want a whole movie of that? To me, what was so funny is it was, you know, it was short enough to make its impact and then move on to something else that's not quite as grating.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. If once you try to expand it to a full movie, it's not just the spice anymore.
Right, then it becomes MacGyver, and you're going, okay, maybe for 5 minutes, not for a whole movie. But I mean, with everything that's been going on with Tom Cruise in the news the last few years, it's nice that there's some attention on a role, and people are loving it so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Bradley Cooper is one of the hottest men in Hollywood, it says here.
No kidding.
Of course, he's in The A-Team, which starts tomorrow. He told Absolute Now about one of his former jobs, which is a bellhop. Those are the guys at the hotels to take your bags.
Yeah.
He'll never forget the one guy that gave him a $20 bill. But he goes on to say he's not a big fan of tipping those guys, so he carries his own bags.
You're kidding.
I've done that many times myself.
Well, I do too.
Yeah.
I have one bag and I can carry it.
Right.
It's not that big a deal. But so if you've done it as a job, you would think that it's like if you've ever waited on tables, you have so much sympathy for those people.
But I would guess that he wouldn't expect. I mean, if somebody's going to carry their own bag, then you don't get it. That's the way it works. You didn't carry their bag, so why would you?
Right. What Lisa's saying is, how about giving a little back, you know, to the guys who are still doing the job that you were stuck doing a few years ago? Help them out by letting them take your bag and give them a tip.
I guess, yeah.
And he can afford it, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Here's some great casting, by the way. That Joseph Gordon-Levitt, tremendous actor. He, of course, was the star of 500 Days of Summer. He is being talked about to play the Riddler in the upcoming Batman movie, which would make a lot of sense. Christopher Nolan is the director of the Batman movie. He's already directed Joseph Gordon-Levitt in Inception. He's one of those kids from a TV show. He was what? He was Malcolm in the Middle? He was in that show, right?
No, it was Third Rock from the Sun.
Third Rock from the Sun, yeah. And, you know, those guys, those kids go one of two ways. You either never hear from them, three ways. You either never hear from them again, or they die of a drug overdose in a trailer in the Midwest, or they go on and turn into really, really fine actors. And that's where Joseph Gordon-Levitt is done. But I think that's outstanding casting.
Yeah, I think he'd be great.
Thank God they're rebooting that Batman franchise because of the old one. Oh, so, man. So tired.
That is bizarre because that one is so good.
Mm-hmm.
But I love that director, so. Birthdays today. We have Kim Deal of the Pixies, 49. Gina Gershon, 48.
Ooh.
Bell, please. We have Elizabeth Hurley, 45.
Oh.
Bell, please. Faith Evans, 37.
Yes.
Lily Sobieski is 28.
Yes.
And do not bell this next person, please, Bean. The presidential daughter, Sasha Obama, is 9.
Aw. Oh.
Can you imagine the birthday party that you have at the White House? I mean, you're 9.
Yeah, they're peaking. Essentially.
Their life is all downhill. As soon as they move out of the White House, it's all going to be bad. But anyway, that's your showbiz beat, and we will be right back.
Comedian Lewis Black on the program today. Your shout at the Green Day Rock Band and What's Up with Farmville, all straight ahead here on the Kevin and Bean Show. I told Kevin a story at Weenie Roast when we were off the air that he seems fascinated with, and he wanted me to share it here today. What do you remember about it, Kevin?
Well, just that you are one of the few people that would do what I did in that situation. I would guess most people put in that situation would turn and walk out. And I'm fascinated by the fact that you sat there and went through it.
Wow.
Because I would have done the same thing, but really only for funny. Just because you don't know what's going to happen. You've never been in a situation like that before.
What the hell did you do?
All right, here's what happened. You know I'm on my Haircuts Across the World campaign, right, Lisa?
Yes. It used to be just across the United States.
This is a great, great cause that Bean is on.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's for charity, right?
It's for charity. No, it's not for charity at all.
Not at all.
He just finds it fascinating to get his hair cut outside of the state of Washington. Anywhere.
A year and a half ago.
Guy's got to have goals.
Labor Day 2008, I guess it was. I was in Detroit on vacation, as we all have been at one time or another. And I decided it was super, super, super hot. It was like 100 degrees out. And I was going to the zoo that day. And I said, I can't live with this bad hair. This was the summer of the pigtails. So you know how long my hair was.
Oh,
that
was the best.
So I said, I can't live. I need a haircut. So I stopped and I got a haircut. And then 3 months after that, it's Christmas and my wife and I are in Hawaii and I'm getting a little bit shaggy and I get my haircut again. And then the light bulb went off my head. I went, hey, my last two haircuts were in Michigan and Hawaii. Wouldn't it be awesome if I continued and I got haircuts in all 50 states?
Now, I'd like to interrupt here and say that's not the part of the story that I would do the same.
Right. Not yet. We're not at that point yet.
That is not a lofty goal.
So 3 months after that, I drove to Idaho on a weekend and got my haircut there. So I checked Idaho off. And then later that year, I was in Finland and I thought, well, what do I do now? I need a haircut, but it's not a state. So I guess I'll expand it to haircuts around the world. So I got my haircut in Finland.
Wait a minute. People get their haircut before they go out of town.
No, but
that's what people do.
Yes, yes, but only people who don't have dreams like Bean has.
Before he even had these goals, the first two haircuts had nothing to do with the goal.
Correct.
It's just he decided he needed a haircut while he was traveling.
Yeah, that's right. True.
What is that?
That's Bean.
I'm too busy at home to get a haircut. I only have time on vacation.
Sure. So
and by the way,
traveling. That's
as
you
I
do it.
As you remember me telling you at the time, guys. Once I got the second one done, I was too far in to abandon the plan.
Right? Yeah.
The plan 50. Sure.
The plan that hadn't been hatched yet. That plan.
So then my next haircut was in New York. Remember we did that video in Harlem where I went and got my haircut in New York, and that was the following Labor Day weekend. And then I got my haircut in Maryland in November, and then I was in Mexico earlier this year.
Less on the backstory.
So, okay, so Mexico earlier this year. I'm in Mexico, okay, all right? Good. So that's haircut number 7 or something like that. And I decided I got to get my haircut, and we're walking around. We're in Los Cabos, which is about 20 miles from Cabo San Lucas. And we're walking around this beautiful little Mexican village, had a tremendous time. And I came across a barbershop that was built into somebody's home. And I thought, this is a good place, Sandy, to get my haircut, right?
Okay.
So I walk in, and the guy who runs the jewelry store next door is married to the woman who's running the salon, the hair salon. And the guy comes up to me, and he says, yeah, you want to get a haircut? Let me find my wife for you. And he goes in, he finds his wife, and his wife is working on somebody else. His wife's got somebody in the chair already. So he doesn't want to lose the business. He says, well, she's busy, but my daughter can cut your hair. She's just in the back. So the guy walks me through his house, through his living room, back into a back bedroom, and we open up the door, and there's his daughter, who's about 20, I guess, and she's okay.
All right.
She's all right. She's in the middle of a painting. She's an artist. And she's got the canvas out and the brushes and the little smock on, and she's painting a landscape. That's what she's doing in the back room.
At some point, didn't any of the news of all the drug wars and stuff, like, didn't you think as this guy's leading you back through his house that you're going to end up decapitated somehow?
You know what's really interesting? No.
Really?
It didn't even occur to me that I was being sucked in to get murdered.
Oh,
wow.
I wish that would have happened.
He could have been going after the gringo in his watch. It didn't even occur to me.
See?
All right. So he takes me back to his daughter, which, by the way, could have ended a lot of different ways, but it didn't. And he says, she'll cut your hair for you. And I think, well, that's fine. But then I find out from the guy whose English is the best of those in the family that she's not a barber.
She doesn't cut hair.
She's never done it before. Right?
Right.
Now,
but she's
an artist.
She's in the house, though, so they feel like, let's not lose this $6. Somebody's got to cut this dude's hair. So they go back and they get the daughter, and you should have seen the look on her face when their father says to her, hey, I need you to come out and cut this gringo's hair.
Now, most people, I would guess, at this point would realize, once you realize the daughter's never cut hair, most people are out, right?
I'm out.
Hey, you know what? I'll come back later. Don't worry about it.
I'll give him the $6 not to cut my hair.
No, but I would have done what Bean did, because what a bizarre set of circumstances.
It's funny.
So how did she do?
Well, here's the thing. She had no idea what she was doing. So her mom, who's, you know, two chairs over working on her customer, in Spanish is telling her daughter how to cut hair, telling her what to do.
Step by step.
Step by step. Yeah, she's looking over. So I'm getting a haircut, a third-party haircut, essentially, from somebody who's across the room who's shouting instructions. So every once in a while, I mean, I don't know any Spanish, to my great shame. I can't speak Spanish. So every once in a while, when I noticed that she was practically shaving one side of the head and the other side of the head was cornrowed, I would try to stop her, and I would try to get her to, and then I was a little bit frustrated because she didn't understand a word of English. I couldn't tell her anything. So then I'm looking at my Mexican bride, and I'm like, Donna, tell her that she needs to even this side up. She's like, what part of being married to me makes you think I know how to speak Spanish? So it's just it's a giant cluster F at this point. But between Donna, like, pointing out parts on my head and making hand signals, and the mom from the other, you know, from the other chair who's shouting out directions, eventually ended up being an okay haircut.
How about that?
That's impressive.
And now he has to go back every month. He's got a date with the daughter, and he's got to get his haircut. Oh,
so you would have done the same thing, though, right, Kevin?
Absolutely. Yeah, but I imagine most people wouldn't, but I love, like, those weird situations that you find yourself in where you just go, look, how bad can a haircut be? It's worth it. Yeah, exactly. Right, right. It's worth it. For guys, especially our hair, what difference does it make?
Yeah. I so applaud the dad, though. The businessman in dad who thought, I'm not going to lose this sale. Damn it, just because the one who cuts hair isn't available, that doesn't mean we should lose this guy. I think that's awesome.
And then he sold you a diamond-encrusted watch.
Hey, party people. Thursday on the Kevin and Bean Show, Dave, the King of Mexico, joins us in studio. He apparently is the king of Farmville.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't get this. I don't understand it. I hear...
Just a
Farmville theme?
Yes, it is. Listen to that.
Music to my ears.
Farmville is getting a million new listeners, new users every week, Kevin, and now has over 70 million active users.
70 million?
70, yes. For folks who don't realize...
Mower.
Is this Dave coming on the tractor?
I don't know. I'm harvesting right here.
Yep.
Making my money.
And for folks who have never heard of Farmville, it's a game that you play on the internet. It's like one of those Second Life games, except instead of being, a dragon slayer, you're out there planting crops and milking cows, I guess.
70 million each what? Week, month, year?
Each week.
No, 70 million active users a month. That's the number of people who log on a month.
Right.
Now, Dave, give me Farmville 101, because I don't know anything about it.
This is my favorite part. That's where the farmer runs over the chicken.
Yeah, well, that is my chicken coop being harvested. But, Bean, it's like The Sims. You remember The Sims, right?
Of course, yeah. The Sims is where you create an alternate reality with a family, and you have a job and kids, and you play and you work and you do everything just like in real life, right?
Yeah, well, remember when The Sims first started, they had Sim City? It's exactly like that, but with a farm.
Right, and so way worse. So you take Sims, and then you go, how can we make this horrible?
Yeah, no, it's cool.
Let's move it to a farm.
Because then you could buy like all these different types of animals, all these decorations. You get all these wacky animals and these different types of plants, fruits, vegetables. And now they're upgrading the game, so now you could do co-op farming.
Oh, you're kidding. That's great.
With your friends, your neighbors, and you could, work on this job. And then you sell stuff in the farmer's market.
So it's just like Grand Theft Auto.
How do you... Yeah, exactly.
What does it mean to sell stuff?
It's like you call somebody.
explain to Bean how... But I mean, so the idea of the game is what? You make money by harvesting crops?
Yeah, you harvested the most crops, and you want to get the biggest farm, the most successful farm. And you want to just be busy.
Is it a cutthroat competition? Dave, my farm kicks your farm's ass.
Not at all. See, this is a friendly game, Kevin, and everyone works together.
Dumb.
Everyone works together. You send your neighbors gifts. They send you gifts. They send you materials you need. Sometimes you have to build a... like a stable for your horses.
Sure. Uh-huh. You don't want your horses just to run free.
Yeah, so, your neighbor will send you, a wooden board or a nail.
Let me stop you right there.
Hey, how about a handful of nails?
So, do you have interaction with other players in the Farmville universe at the same time, in real time?
If they're... Not really in real time. Like, it's not like we could see each other playing, but, I could go visit farms and...
Yeah, there's no split screen or anything that exciting.
And I could plow. That'd be awesome. If it was like chat roulette and you guys are farming together.
Right.
No, but, I could go visit other people's farms and, plow their fields.
I was sitting there with Dave B when I first discovered this ridiculous game, and he's like, I got to go to my friend's farm because he's not keeping it up properly.
Yeah.
And he went to his friend's farm and did some upkeep.
Yeah, all his crops have died, and and so I used my own Farmville cash and bought an unwither potion.
By the way, we're gonna need to talk to you.
Unwither potion.
1-800-520-1067. We're gonna need to talk to you if you play the Farmville and why. All right, get back to the unwithered potion.
Yeah, so his crops are dead. So I sprayed a little unwither juice, and boom, his crops are back up. He's back in business.
It's just like real life.
What's Farmville cash?
Farmville cash is there's special items that you need, like this unwither juice and
yes,
it only accepts Farmville cash, and you could buy it or you could earn it.
You don't spend real money.
I don't spend real money.
Do you have a credit card on file?
Not at all.
Yes, you do.
Me personally,
you do.
No.
But people do.
Me personally, yes. If you go to places like Target, they sell Farmville gift cards. And like 25, 25 bucks, real dollars,
right,
can get you about $100 Farmville cash.
And then you can cash that in for $100 at the end?
And then you could buy... No.
You
could buy special edition, themed decoration, theme animals, different types of things. So Dave, it's really cool.
Can you have a zebra, or a giraffe or something like that on your farm if you wanted?
Well, they don't offer zebras or giraffes yet, but they have elephants. So I have three of them. So they
you
make,
have three elephants?
Yeah.
How big's your ranch?
My ranch is 24 by 24
is that
inches
good?
Across. Yeah.
So you rule, yeah, you rule the farm
biggest,
world?
I'm at the biggest right now. You know,
your farmer days?
I got my mansion. You know, I got, I'm partying.
Oh, you have a mansion?
Yeah, I got one. I'm partying, you know. I got everything. I even bought a plane right now so it could spray my crops.
Nice!
Dude, I'm rolling deep, dude. You don't understand. You don't even
so
know.
Is there a way to win, or you just continue
oh,
play
good question.
Forever?
You know, it's funny because there weren't as many crops. They weren't offering as many crops, and then as soon as people started getting close to finishing all the crops, because you could master a crop.
Sure.
And when you master a crop, you get special prizes and stuff.
Of course.
So a lot of people have been mastering crops. Like me, I'm mastering a crap load of crops.
That's what it's like in Call of Duty.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, all of a sudden, you see little extra crops here and there pop up. You're like, oh
how
man.
Exciting.
So they're just adding crops.
Oh, it's not exciting?
Oh, it's pretty exciting.
You're bummed because you thought you almost had
it. Well, because, you know, I was into my day crops now, like where I have to wait 3 days to harvest a crop. But now they added back four-hour crops and 16-hour crops.
Our producer Alex, will say she's on the phone with somebody. She's trying to do some business for, you know, for our show, and she'll hear Dave go, "Oh no, I can't harvest my turnips yet.
My artichokes are not getting enough water."
Master the artichoke, dude. Master the artichoke.
Listen, that's not an accomplishment.
Yes, it is, man. How much time I invested into that?
So
what if
you
the crop
plant
needs
the
to be harvested and you go out of town. What happens?
Good point.
Well, I mean, you set it up because
you take your computer with you.
You know, look,
no, but
like,
if you can't.
Like the artichokes, for example, I think it's 2 day harvest. So you have
but
2 days.
Only 2 days that you have to do it.
So you get it. You know, you wait 2 days. It's ready to be harvested. You have 2 days to harvest it. So you know, you're going to want to set it up accordingly.
All right, we need to leave it there and come back with phone calls.
You're
because
to plan the harvesting around the your vacation.
Phones are ringing off the hook, obviously, with all the Farmville fans because it's immensely popular. And apparently, Kevin, we're the lame ones for not being on Farmville, apparently.
I need to know how this is interesting. This sounds like everything Dave says, don't play this, don't play this.
It does sound like punishment. It does sound like something you get instead of jail. All right, 1-800-520-1067.
Lindsay Lohan, I'm very angry at you for not showing up in court. You have a week in Farmville.
Please explain the Farmville to us. We'll take your calls right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Fine.
Yeah. That's nice.
That means good times are here.
Dave, are you putting on your overalls? Getting in your Farmville state of mind? Time Magazine recently released its list of the 50 worst inventions. Farmville. Farmville's on that list, Dave.
No, it's not.
It is.
Time Magazine should be one.
Time bemoans Farmville's mindlessness, pointing out the game's repetitive nature, even as it begrudgingly acceded that the virtual farm app is the most addictive of all the Facebook games. Apparently, if you weren't listening in the last segment, Dave, the King of Mexico, is heavy into the Farmville, and he's a big-time farmer, and he loves it, and that's why the podcasts don't go up until 3 p.m.
That's right.
Because Dave is working on Farmville.
He's got to harvest his beets or whatever it is he does, and then he does it.
So we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Let's find out why Farmville is so darned popular. Why don't we start with Mandy, who apparently is on level 59, whatever the hell that
Baller.
Is. Hi, Mandy. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Bean just said level 59, and Dave just said baller. So apparently you're a baller, Mandy.
Dude, I'm only on 49.
Oh, you're kicking Dave's ass.
All right, what's... Wednesday.
All right, could we have a little less tractor on the call, please? Is that possible?
This?
Can you make that happen? Yeah. Let me get rid of that for a minute. Mandy, what's the deal with you and the Farmville?
Well, I started doing it when I was pregnant, and then I became hooked on it, and I told my husband, you know, it's easier than shopping, and it's easier than doing a lot of other things. And
right.
So you're saving money,
essentially? So is sleeping, but, I mean, you know.
Okay, but what's the thrill online of virtually harvesting peaches? I mean, what do you get out of that?
It's basically beating your friends and how much crap you can acquire on the farm and like how the levels you can get and right now the co-ops and everything.
Let me just ask a question. If you're on level 59 and Dave's on level 49, to me, that means you're more of a loser than Dave is because you have nothing else to do.
I do it before, after, and sometimes during work. It's sad.
Well, I can understand during if you're bored. A lot of people have boring jobs. I can understand doing stuff online.
I'm one of them.
Farmville is not. Yeah, you're one of them. All right.
Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it, Mandy. Level 59. All right, let's try to beat that, everybody.
Yeah.
Let's try Sharon. Sharon is on line 6, joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show. She has also been bitten by the Farmville bug. Hi, Sharon. You're on the Kevin and Bean Show. Go ahead, please.
Hi. How are you doing?
Good, thanks.
Good. Oh, my God. I'm so big into Farmville. I'm on level 62.
62! Yeah! Woo! She did it!
Is that the top level?
No, I don't know what the top level is. It's like
Anyone?
There isn't one, Sharon.
I'm on 70 or so already.
It says here that it's like cocaine to you. You will stay up all night and play it.
I don't stay up all night. I'm a school teacher, so when I come home from work, I need to kind of chill, and so I play the game, and I've accumulated so many things. I have 160 items in storage.
Oh, you rule, because wow. That storage sure is full.
Sharon, why don't you get some penis in your life or something that you can really look forward to at the end of a long day?
Yeah, well, I'm waiting for that to come up on Farmville, you know?
Yeah, good luck with that.
You know, in real life, she'd be on Hoarders.
She would, you're right. Yeah,
that's true. What's the biggest thrill you ever had, Sharon, playing Farmville? Like the real high of something that you accomplished or something that you did or saw or got that you still are smiling over?
Oh, my God. I think the best thing was it happened just about last week. They have this new thing going on through 7-Eleven that you can buy things and then you bring your little coupons to your computer and you enter in the number.
Yeah.
If you did a certain number of items, you get the Uber gift. And the Uber gift for Farmville was $200 Farmville dollars.
Oh, yeah! Man, that must have been exciting. You must have been like for days.
You don't understand,
with that one.
Dude. When there's a new building that needs to be built,
call all your friends.
Man,
it's party time.
If you have Farmville
time.
Cash, done like that. And you're making bank. You're rolling in the coins.
And by bank, you mean
coins.
Right. That you can cash in for.
More stuff.
Nothing.
Sharon, thank you very much for the call. By the way, Jenny emails in, hey, party people, tell Dave he needs to get the Neapolitan cow for his farm at 7-Eleven. Apparently, you can buy ice cream at 7-Eleven and sort of points or code or something like that and get a Neapolitan cow, Dave.
Look, I'm getting one.
There's two different levels of people. One is the guy that loves the farm bill. The other is the guy that starts spending real money on it.
Right.
Yeah.
But what
if
I'm hungry and I want ice cream?
Then you might as well go there.
Might as well get the Neapolitan.
Sure, yeah.
Let's talk to Jose on line 7. He's on level 70, Dave. Does that make him your Lord and Savior?
Oh,
somebody
these guys are serving you.
Yeah, you have to worship him.
70. Yeah. Jose, what's up with Farmville? Why do you like it so much and you've played it to the point where you get to level 70?
Well, when I started playing it, my girlfriend hooked me up on it, so I had no say in it. But once I got addicted, I couldn't stop, and then I ended up in level 70. And I realized I have no life, so I stopped playing it.
You stopped? Did Dr. Drew treat you?
No.
Is there a Farmville rehab?
No. But
listen to Jose, by the way. My girlfriend signed me up on it, so I had no choice. I had to do it. There's no way I could say no. Hey, can you kill your girlfriend online in Farmville, Dave? Is that something you're allowed to do? As a farmer, can kill his wife?
Bean, if it sounds at all interesting, you can't do it.
Here's something you may like. Now they offer puppies, so you could... They could walk with your farmer, and you feed the puppies, and they grow up to be doggies. So now
Hold on. You're moving too fast.
Yeah, this is great.
You're moving too fast. The puppies grow up to be doggies?
Yes. So now I have this cute little doggy following me around. And have I mentioned that I have a chinchilla?
Come on. Have I mentioned that the graphics are straight out of 1981?
Not the chinchilla. When you blow it up, dude, and zoom in, it looks so cute.
The graphics are horrible.
No, they're not.
They're horrible.
Man. You guys are just out.
Centipede, the game, way back in the 80s or whatever, has better graphics than this.
All right, listen, we're almost out of time, Dave, but I have to ask again, and I know we've kind of asked this before, and I'll try to do it in a different way. If you're going to spend time playing a game online, why not play something that has a little bit of adrenaline to it? Something where you're running from the cops, or you're trying to solve a puzzle, or you're doing something that's a little more stimulating than literally watching grass grow.
Because I'm not looking for that type of game. I want to relax and chill out. I don't want to.
That's what you need. You're so hyper at work.
Yeah, man. So, you know, that's perfect.
Hang on. This just in. Nikki, is it level 75?
Oh!
Come on! How did you get to level 75, Nikki?
I play that game night and day.
How much more exciting is level 75 than 74?
It was so much better when I got to beat my last friend who was on level 74.
That's such good news.
There is something to say about when you're that first friend and right in the front of the line of all your neighbors. That's you, because that's me right now.
Right,
and
but you're
awesome.
At the front.
So good.
But you're at the front of the loser line.
Not loser.
It's still the loser. You could be at the front, but it's the loser line.
Nikki, you rule.
Nikki, how much time are you spending on Farmville every day?
I go on in the morning before I go to work, at lunch, during my breaks, when I get home, and if I have to, I wake up in the middle of the night.
Oh my God. Unbelievable. I would like to tell you that I will pay for a date, Nikki, if you and Dave would like to go out together, and you guys can bring your laptops, and you can go to a Starbucks, and you can sit there, you can play Farmville together. How about that?
I would love a Farmville date with Mike.
But not that.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Thursday. Our friend Lewis Black on the program later today, always very, very funny, and actor Charlto, which is not a real name, right? Copley.
No. Yes.
Who is the fantastic actor that starred in District 9 out there trying to fight the prawns. He is one of the stars of the A-Team opening everywhere tomorrow, and he will join us later on today on the Kevin and Bean Show as well. Ralph is out. Time to take a look at the showbiz beat. Kevin, this is good news for you. Eminem's new album, Recovery, has leaked on the internet. It is available everywhere 2 weeks ahead of its official June 22nd release date. It showed up on earlier this week, including a duet with Pink called Won't Back Down, which I have not yet heard.
Won't Back Down is a new single.
Oh, all right.
I haven't heard it yet.
Yeah, that's very cool.
It's really a change in tone. The last one was... I might kill myself at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
Right. That was the last album. This one's like
defiant.
This one's like, no, I'm leading the way. If you all want to come with me, I'm following. Let's go. Like, what happened between the last one and this one?
Eminem hasn't had anything to say about the leak yet, but it's kind of par for the course these days. You know, he had recorded a whole nother record that was planning to come out a few months ago, and then at the kind of as we're getting closer to the release date, he decided to scrap it and do a completely different set. So it's a lot of Eminem tracks. He's in a very prolific period right now, and he's obviously super talented. Anyway, Recovery is the Eminem album, and you can get it legally on June 22nd.
And by legally, you mean the only way we do.
Of course.
Britney Spears seems like a lot to handle. Don't you think the people around her must just be pulling their hair out?
Yes.
All hours of the day.
My God.
According to AbsoluteNow.com, her head bodyguard quit on grounds that she sexually harassed him. I think that's older news. She was constantly coming on to Fernando Flores and even invited him into her bedroom.
This is one of the guys that's working on her like a bodyguard or something like that, and she's trying to get with him? All right.
Was, yes. Apparently, the final straw, though, came when Britney's dad... called all of her hired hands together.
Yes.
And he said to them, hey, make sure my daughter has underwear on when she goes out.
Oh,
if you don't
dear.
Mind. Would you mind checking? Just make sure she's got underwear.
God.
And how do you do that? How do you manage
a
25-year-old and say, before we go out, Brittany, let me see your panties?
I think that would come naturally to me. I don't know, but he quit. He's out, this dude. No more.
Him. My God.
She is a hot mess. Didn't we also hear that even though the bodyguards were there, that Brittany didn't care and she just walked around the house naked all the time
and stuff like that? Which, by the way, in the older days, would have been great.
Right.
Right. Not so much lately. All right, Kevin, you can head on to the other room and play some Gallagher or something because you're not going to care about this story. But potentially the very first ever recorded version of That's What She Said has been released. Some film came out this week of a screen test from 1929 of Alfred Hitchcock preparing a movie. 1929.
You're kidding.
And we've got a little bit of the audio. If you want to hear what That's What She Said sounded like back in 1929, listen up. Here's Hitch with an actress that he was casting in a movie.
You asked me to let you hear your voice on the talking picture.
But, Hitch, you mustn't do that.
Why not?
Well, because I can speak well.
Do you realize the squad van will be here any moment?
No, really. Oh, my God, I'm terribly frightened.
Why? Have you been a bad woman or something?
Well, not just bad, but...
But you slept with men.
Oh, no.
You have not. Come here. Stand in your place. Otherwise, it will not come out right, as the girl said to the soldier.
There you go. As the girl said to the soldier is the 1929 version of That's What She Said. Tape unveiled this week.
I would like to request that you give us just the first 5 minutes of the movie first instead of just the whole second hour.
That
clip could be longer.
That was about 20 seconds of tape.
I'm going to call BS. I'm going to say that was a minute and a half.
Nope, it was 27 seconds.
There's a dullness about you.
Yes,
there's a dullness about you.
Well, you just said that, right?
As the lady said to the soldier was the 1929 version of That's What She Said. But how cool is that? First ever. On
but
film.
It's not exactly.
No,
that.
But it's the exact same joke. It's the exact same joke.
Can I answer how cool is that?
Yes, you can. You'd rather play Farmville?
Not. Yeah. I'd play Farmville over that. Yeah. Katy Perry, apparently.
Yes.
Is the best woman alive. Not only is she super hot.
And really nice. Yeah.
Russell Brand had a birthday, and they threw a surprise party for him, and she bought him a trip into space. One of those certificates.
I love her.
Kidding.
I love her.
One of those
so
certificates
much.
Where you can go, I think it's 500,000 feet.
It's real, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, you take a rocket up, and you're, I guess, past the Earth's atmosphere for a few minutes, right?
It's not on the moon or anything, but it is out of the atmosphere into space, yes.
Oh, my God. That's cool.
So that's Katy Perry and what she does for her man.
She's the best woman in the world ever.
How's she going to top that next year,
That's a great question.
No kidding.
She will.
Today's celebrity birthdays, they're politicians, but they're famous just like regular celebrities. John Edwards, the man who might have been the vice president of the United States, and now is just a big jerk. He's 57 years old today. Former governor of New York, Eliot Spitzer, who you recall got caught with a hooker, ended up losing that job. He turns 51 today. Sasha Obama is 9 today, celebrating in the White House. Actress Gina Gershon turns 47. Actress Lily Sobieski turns 28. Jean Triplehorn, isn't she on the
Big Love?
Big Love.
Big Love, yep. Yeah. Great actress, too. She is 47. The notorious B.I.G. widow Faith Evans is 37 years old today. And Liz Hurley is 44, and that is the Ralph Showbiz. Dave's making a lot of Farmville friends, by the way. A lot of love out there for Dave and his Farmville. Dear. Apparently, we're on the outside of this one, Kevin.
Oh, I know. All right. Listen, 70 million people a month. That's crazy.
Yeah. It is insane. Hey, big hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks a lot for tuning in. Our friend Lewis Black is going to be here talking about something called Stark Raving Black, his new special in minutes. Also, your chance at Green Day Rock Band later in the hour. Are you familiar with, a lot of people love these greeting cards. I find them extremely annoying. They're little animated figures named Hoops and Yo-Yo. Have you guys seen these talking cards you open up and they scream at you?
I've seen the ones where they have music in them. They play a song or something.
Right. Well, these are little characters that talk, and they're very, very popular. They sell millions of cards for Hallmark, and they've got a graduation card that's been out for 3 years now that has been in the news a little bit lately. And Hoops and Yo-Yo are it's an outer space themed graduation card. So you look on the front of the greeting card and you see a picture of Saturn, and you see hey graduate, congratulations, you're going to take over the world. And then you open up the card and you hear a little bit of Hoops and Yo-Yo. It's a little bit hard to hear, but here's the audio that you hear in the card.
This graduate's going to run the world, run the universe, and run everything after that, whatever that is.
So this graduate's going to run the world, run the universe, and run everything after that, whatever that is what Hoops and Yo-Yo say.
Wow. Black holes, you're so ominous.
You black holes, you're so ominous.
Congratulations! I'm going to take over the world. Can you plan it? Watch your back.
Congratulations, get ready to take
What's
over
happening?
The world. Look out, planets. Watch your back. Okay? So that's the theme of the card. It's been in stores for 3 years.
Watch your back? What are they going to do to the planet?
What does that mean?
Well, because the graduate is so powerful that nothing can stop him. He's so powerful, he's not only going to take over the world, as they say, he's going to take over the whole solar system.
Does it say, did you speed it up or make it more annoying?
No, that's what those cards sound like. That's the Hoops and Yo-Yo character, right? So you may not like the card. You may not choose to buy the card.
Right.
But can you imagine why it's in the news now and why it's being pulled from Hallmark stores all over the country?
Because Pluto doesn't exist anymore and it mentions it?
No.
Oh. No.
Because people have had conniption fits when they heard that?
Yeah. Good.
A graduation card sold at local stores has been pulled from shelves after a civil rights group raised concerns about the content. The group claims the card's micro speaker plays a greeting that's racist. And I would use word of Aaron Hernandez explains why this card has come under attack.
Now, we have for years on the Kevin and Bean Show, one of the standing jokes about people who find racism everywhere is why the hole got to be black, right?
Right.
Because when you hear black hole, which it says in the card, when it says look out black hole.
No.
Why the hole got to be black? Is there a way to look at that and go, well, that's clearly demeaning to African Americans?
Oh, only if you're crazy.
It's an astronomy. It's a card based on an astronomy theme. It has planets. It has black holes. It has take over the world. It has the solar system. It has little pictures of Saturn on it.
Everything's good but the hole.
Everything. Well, that's what she said.
It is a graduation greeting from Hallmark.
Gay World, we're officially putting you on notice.
Yeah.
Members of the Los Angeles NAACP did take notice. And as characters known as Hoops and Yo-Yo banter on, African-American leaders hear demeaning language.
Demeaning language.
Oh.
God, you need to pay attention to the important stuff and let this crap go.
See, but Lisa, that's...
This is so tragic.
That's... And the people who should be the most angry are the people who actually have to face racism.
I agree.
This because they're not, spending their time on this.
My God.
Oh, wait, I hate these people
wait,
so much.
Wait till you hear how angry they are about the black whores. I mean, black holes.
And you black holes, you're so ominous. And you planets, watch your back.
That was very demeaning to African American women. Where they made reference to African American women as whores, and at the end says, watch your back.
Okay.
They couldn't even understand what it was actually saying.
Nope. They didn't say, this is a joke.
It's not a joke. This guy's the Los Angeles chapter of the NAACP. He says it's demeaning to African-American women. They call them black whores. And at the end, they say, watch your back, which, of course, is what they're saying to the planets in the card because, again, it's an astronomy theme. Not a joke, kids.
So Hallmark, reached by phone, says it is all a misunderstanding. The card's theme is the solar system and the power of the grad to take over the universe, even energy-absorbing black holes.
Wait, who did you just call a whore? Excuse me.
Did
Excuse
he really
me,
think
right
they
here.
Said whore?
And no one told him differently? Like, no one leaned over and went, that's whole.
I watched the whole press conference, and I saw person after person get up on this stage for the NAACP, and they said, I know that Hallmark tells you that it says black hole, but I'm telling you that lots of people who open up this card, they hear whore. They don't hear hole.
Oh.
Again, I'd like to remind you that the card has been in stores for 3 years. Nobody ever complained until last week. There was one person in Chicago who said, wait a minute, I'm offended by this. I think I've just been called a black whore when all I'm trying to do is buy a graduation card for my son.
That is...
Wow.
That's just unspeakable.
That just happened.
That didn't happen. You're making this up. It's from The Onion. It's from Funny or Die. Come on.
The intent here is to say, this graduate's not afraid of anything.
But that is not what was heard here.
And you hear the R in there, which means whores, and not holes. The R is in there.
You hear the R in there, guys. It's not holes. It's clearly whores. And by the way, they're not even trying to say that it's black hose,
no.
Which is, you know, the euphemism for whore. They're actually hearing the word whore instead of hole.
Wow.
Are they going to pull it?
It's gone.
Oh, my God.
It's gone. Listen up.
Hallmark sent us this transcript, but Minnie Hatley says the actual audio raises questions.
It sounds like a group of children laughing and joking about blackness again.
Hallmark is now notifying all its stores to pull the card. Walgreens and CVS are doing the same. The card maker says the card has been out for 3 years. This is the first time they've received a complaint.
Yeah. In any situation where there is a circumstance that we need to be sensitive to, we try to learn from that experience.
Why don't you not be sensitive in this case, Hallmark, and just say, pick up a science book. They're called black holes, okay? And that's clearly what's going on in the card.
It's a scientific term. See, here's what angers me. It doesn't anger me so much that they're complaining because there are people who've decided there's racism in everything, and they will find it, and they complain. But what should happen is Hallmark should say, it's a scientific term. We're really sorry you misunderstood.
You're wrong.
And that's it. And just let it go.
But they don't. They all roll over.
And it wouldn't make any sense at all in that context to call someone a black whore.
No.
Just out of the blue?
If you're buying a graduation card for a teenager, why would you put that in a card? What makes them think that would be in the card? So look, here's what we're saying, and I'm sure you've done a lot of good work, Los Angeles chapter of the NAACP.
But you're out?
Stop it.
Yes.
All right? That's what we're saying is stop it.
Wow.
Stop it.
That's so hard to believe that's real.
I know.
Oh, I hate them so much.
Couldn't be happier to see the return of our good friend Lewis Black. Stark Raving Black is the name of the new special airing Saturday night at 9 on the Comedy Central. And Lou joins us again on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Mr. Black, how are you, sir?
Oh, wonderful.
You know, you'd be surprised. We don't... Exactly. We don't talk to you very often, but you'd be surprised how often I think about you and go, I wonder what Lewis Black would say about the oil spill or whatever's going on in the news, because I know that you continue to sit at home in New York just fuming about the world.
Oh, yeah.
well, they you know, they won't let up. Somebody's got their foot on the gas pedal, literally and figuratively, and they don't stop.
Here's what I love about Lewis Black is that you have figured out a way. Most of us feel the anger that you feel, but words fail us. We can't describe how or why. We can't put it into words that other people can understand, and you have figured out a way to do that on every topic.
I don't know how I've done it either. I mean, but I think it's been with a certain loss of real brain power.
Possibly.
I've focused a lot of time and energy into this nonsense, and basically, and I have no life. But otherwise, it's worked out really well.
Before we talk about Saturday night and the Stark Raving Black special and DVD that's coming out, I have to ask, because I mentioned the BP oil spill. People are really getting furious that, A, it's taking so long, and, B, they seem to be seeing ineptitude not only from BP but from the administration in Washington. And I don't know what the answer is, but I figure a guy like you would be able to do a better job than the clowns we got running both companies now.
Yeah. Well, the ineptitude started way before that. It started as soon as somebody said, hey, let's drill for oil at the bottom of the ocean, and then let's not have any fail-safe mechanism, and let's not ask these people if something happens, if there's a contingency plan.
Yeah, that's
now, in light of all that's occurred, my solution I think you'll enjoy,
okay,
which is, and I came up with this when I woke up yesterday morning and was watching it again, and I thought, this is a multinational corporation, which means it treats itself as if it's a country.
Right.
So we should treat it as if it's a country. And if we were willing to invade Iraq because we thought they had weapons of mass destruction.
Right.
And meanwhile, BP is actually attacking us with oil.
Okay.
And they continue to attack us with oil. So we must invade them.
We have to invade BP?
We invade BP. We take them over.
Okay, and then
they have no standing army.
That's true.
And they've got oil.
They have oil.
And we could take their money.
We could kick their asses. That's true.
And we take every dime that comes into them.
I like
it. It's our money now. Don't tell me what you're going to do, and we're going to have our lawyers. Screw you. You're done.
Don't you think, though, this is how I feel when I look at it. Like, that's what would happen if I were running BP. And I always think, you know, the people that are running companies that big, they of course have contingency plans, and of course they know, and of course it's safe, and of course.
Because they're smarter than us.
Because they're smarter than us, right.
That's why they
if I was running it, I would drill in the bottom of the ocean with no contingency plan. And then I would go, that's why I'm not running it. But I don't understand. I don't even get it.
I get it, and I'm beginning to think it has to do with CEOs and something that all of us in the, you know, you guys, those of us in the entertainment industry missed the point that you didn't have to be intelligent to run a company.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can be an idiot.
Yeah, yeah,
and
true.
And one of the things seems to be that you put at the top of your resume, I'm stupid.
Yeah, well.
And then second would be I'm greedy. and then you're set.
That
and
is
we just
the...
don't, and none of us are really that stupid or that greedy.
Yeah,
you are listening to the
from running this whole thing.
This is the unmistakable voice of the great Lewis Black on the Kevin and Bean Show. Lewis Black, Stark Raving Black, airs Saturday night at 9 on Comedy Central. And as has become the trend in recent years, it will almost immediately be available for sale with lots of extras the following Tuesday. So you can watch it or not on Saturday, but definitely go out and buy it on Tuesday. Would you say that's accurate, Lou?
I would say that's accurate because on Saturday they're going to bleep it.
Ah!
So if you're really interested in hearing how many bleeps I get per minute.
Listen, that drives me crazy. I've stopped watching South Park because now I know if I download it on iTunes, you can get the unedited version.
So much better.
It's so much better.
Nuts. Yeah. There's like, it's like we can't, you know, really, seriously, at what point don't we become adults? You know, you can show stuff. Children are not going to flip out if there's bad language. If you don't want the child to see it, just don't allow the child to see the show.
Right. Yeah.
Bad language.
Amen.
Is the least of our problems.
Amen. 35 additional minutes that aren't going to be on the special Saturday night you get on the DVD. And this is what I'm really excited about. Have you also bundled this with a documentary, a Lewis Black documentary as well?
Yes. That's how insane I am. I've completely lost my mind.
And what is behind the scenes? It's not just you sitting on the couch watching.
From you know, basically how I ended up doing what I was doing.
Good. KZ Elephant. Guy's a bit of a spaz, if you ask me. It's the world-famous K-Rock at 7:38.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show on a Thursday. We'll talk to Charlo Copley, one of the stars of the A-Team, coming up in a few minutes. Also, Petros Papadakis will join us and break down what the potential USC sanctions mean for that college football program for the next few years. That's all straight ahead on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, how about Green Day fans? How about torturing them, making them play a little game we like to call Omaroki?
Omaroki as a singer, Omar's really lame. So we wish you luck, because he sucks. If you guess, you win the game.
Here's the deal. Green Day Rock Band is in stores now on Xbox 360, PlayStation 3, and for Wii. We're going to give you a copy of Rock Band right now on Xbox 360, a Rock Band guitar strap, Trey Cool drumsticks, and a Green Day Rock Band t-shirt. Plus, you're eligible for the grand prize drawing to go see the band in Denver, Colorado, August 28th, and an autographed guitar. You can go to kevinbean.com for more details. Now, the way this game works, O, is that you're going to be singing Green Day songs, and all the listener has to do is try to decipher what you're trying to sing and tell us the title of that song, right?
Sure, right. Can't be easier.
This can be very difficult.
Very easy. I sing exactly like Billy Joseph.
Very close. Close.
Now, we've played this game a bunch of times before, but I think the one thing you've never tried to do is keep in mind the song that you're singing and maybe try to follow that melody.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, that's every a good point.
Time,
you never brought that
I'm
up.
I'm dead on.
Have you heard all these songs?
Absolutely.
Okay, I'm just checking ahead of time. All right, Miguel is our first contestant. Hi, Miguel.
Hi, how you doing?
Miguel's a student at Cerritos College, and he is going to be the first to fall victim to Omaroki. Lisa, you'll keep track so we can do a drawing? All right. Here is the great Omar now with a Green Day song.
Welcome to a new kind of tension all across the alien nation, where everything isn't meant to be okay. Television dreams of tomorrow. We're not the ones who were meant to follow.
I don't think we don't need really the whole song. Just a couple of lines is fine. Miguel, what song is Omar trying to sing there?
That sounds like Time of Your Life.
What? It sounds nothing like Time of Your Life.
That guy must die.
Wait.
Are you kidding?
Wait. You were kidding. You were kidding, though.
Yes, I was.
You were being funny.
I was kidding with you. No, that's American Idiot.
I think he was serious when he said Time of Your Life. That was certainly the answer he gave
us. There's no way he was serious because I think nothing his like it.
And I think his save is, I was kidding. Of course it's American Idiot. I think that's
it
his save.
Like he was serious to me.
I'm giving Miguel the point for being funny at the risk of losing the game. There's no way he thought that was Time of Your Life.
Hey, this might be a great tip. This might be a great tip to everyone playing a quiz show. When somebody goes to you for an answer, don't give them a funny answer.
Well, or at least preface it that way, because we should hang up on him, but I think he was kidding.
All right.
Well, I think you're being generous. I mean, I think that was his answer, to tell you the truth. I really do.
I just can't imagine how
it's
could
not possible.
Be.
If he it didn't sound like he was kidding or anything. It didn't. It was a great delivery.
Yeah.
Miguel, because we're good guys, here's what we're going to do. We're going to put you in the drawing, and we'll just make sure you don't win, okay?
Yeah, we're not going to pick you.
Okay. But at least that way you're in the drawing. So we can't say we're the bad guys for hanging up on you. That's my
Too
point.
Too bad you don't do picking. I do.
He's right.
All right. Rudy is next on the Kevin and Bean Show. He's on line two. Hey, Rudy, don't screw this up. You ready to play some Omaroki?
All right. Sounds good. I'm ready.
All right. Here's Omar.
My eyes, they feel like they're gonna bleed. Dried up and bulging at my skull. My mouth is dry. My face is numb. Effed up and spun out in my room. On my own. Here we go.
Hey, Omar. Okay. Omar, do you remember a few minutes ago when B was asking if you try to... like sing it in
It's just like
the grin that he does.
Are you kidding?
All right, Rudy.
Yeah, I think my ears are going to bleed.
What's the name of that?
Is that Dated?
Say it again.
Are you being funny?
Dated.
Are you being funny?
Yeah, I'm being funny.
My eyes feel like they're gonna bleed. Right there.
Yeah, nothing
exactly
like that.
Exactly like that.
Wow.
That was brain
stew. Yeah, thank you very much. All right. So far, Miguel technically is in the drawing, but he won't win. Let's try Fred. He's on line three. Hi, Fred. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You ready to save this bit?
Yeah, let's do this.
All right.
Are you locked up in a world that's been planned out for you? Are you feeling like a social tool without a use? Scream at me until my ears
all
bleed.
All right, our ears are bleeding.
You've
right
done
now.
That. You've done that. All right.
How dare you?
Fred.
That was so bad that it threw the rhythm off in my head. Basket Case.
Sorry.
We've heard you.
You can't sing along with it and go, that's what I was doing.
That's exactly what I was doing. What are you talking about?
Paul is on line four. Hey, Paul, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. I apologize in advance for what you're about to hear.
Here comes the rain again, falling from the stars, drenched in my pain again, becoming who we are.
Now, Paul, before you answer, I'd like to remind you and the audience, Omar is the guy that makes fun of Glee on a weekly basis, okay?
Hey, I never point. Say I can sing.
Yeah.
What song is that, Paul?
By the way, do you, a Meroki.
When we do a Meroki, you always say you can sing.
Well, right, I do rock these songs pretty good.
Paul, what's your answer?
That's Wake Me Up in September.
Yeah!
Didn't sound like that, but yeah, that's the right answer. Congratulations.
All right, we got time for one more. It's going to be Crystal Line 6 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Crystal. You ready to play some Omaroki?
Yes.
So go do what you like. Make sure you do it wise. You may find out that your self-doubt means nothing was ever there. You can't go forcing something if it's just not right.
I'm looking at the title of the song, and I don't recognize it.
It's just like it.
Oh my gosh.
Crystal?
Ah!
If you had to name that song, what would it be?
Oh my gosh.
It's a Green Day song. That's a clue.
I know.
Right?
I know, I've heard it before.
You've heard it 100,000 times before.
And it's just not like
just
that.
Didn't sound bad.
All right. We do need an answer, though. We got to move on.
Well, what was your answer?
Can you sing it again?
Nope. None of us can take that.
Nobody
so
wants
go
that.
Do
no.
what you like.
No.
Okay,
make
that's
sure
a cr-
you do.
Too bad. We were looking for When I Come Around is the answer we were looking for. Nice try. All right. What just one more.
Yeah.
I know I said the last one was one, but so far we've only got Miguel and Paul in the drawing, and I want to make sure Miguel doesn't win. So let's play one more.
I want Miguel to win. I think he made us laugh, and he deserves it.
He was not being funny.
Andrew, hi.
Hey. How's it going?
I see that you're Badly. a road stripper. Is that true?
Yeah, I get naked in the street.
Okay. Here's Omar.
A gunshot rings out at the station. Another urchin snaps and left in on his own. It makes me wonder why I'm still here. For some strange reason, it's now feeling like my home.
Okay.
And I'm never gonna go.
That's fine. Please stop. Andrew.
Welcome to Paradise.
There we go.
Nope.
You can't sing along now.
You know what it is that I don't have the music behind me. If I had the music behind me, a little reverb, man, magic.
Yeah. Miguel is in the drawing, also Andrew and Paul. Lisa May, who's going to win Green Bay Rock Band and be qualified for the trip to see the band in Denver?
Andrew!
Aww.
Yay!
Andrew.
Woo-hoo.
Congratulations. Thank you for playing Omaroki, and we apologize for all that sound.
Omaroki, that's our game, and how much fun we had. Now you know that I didn't lie when I told you he was pretty bad.
And 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 7:56. This is the Kevin and Bean Show.
Omar, don't sing anymore, please, for the love of Christ.
I agree.
You sing so bad, I feel like I just caught an STD. My hurts right now. I can't do it anymore, Omar.
We're with you.
Yeah, we won't have Omar sing for a while. Thank you very much for the call there. Charlto Copley, you don't know the name, but if you saw and loved District 9 as we did, you love him as an actor. He is back as Murdoch in the A-Team, and he joins us in about 10 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, wrap us out today. Producer Alex filling in for the show, Biz Beat, on a Thursday. What's going on?
Good morning. This is reason number 500. I love Jack Johnson.
All right.
He put the smackdown on Justin Bieber.
Really?
He said, Bieber, not so much with you.
Jack Johnson?
Jack Johnson debuted at number one, pushing Justin Bieber down to number two. I hate Justin Bieber the way you hate Al Roker and Omar hates Rachel Ray. So anytime Justin Bieber can cry behind that god-awful hair, it makes me happy.
Did you notice, though, at Weenie Roast that Bean has Bieber hair? Did you notice that?
I think Bean thinks he has Bieber hair, but Bean looks like Paul McCartney.
Okay.
He needs a little flat iron, and then he could be gay Bieber.
I got Bieber fever.
Jack Johnson debuted at number one, selling 243,000 copies. Do you know this is Jack Johnson's fifth Cinco top 10 album?
Wow.
And do you know that they are interchangeable and identical in every way?
And all
they're
good.
They're awesome. And yet everyone's excited.
It's funny because there are a lot of artists where you go, they just have one song. And he's one of them, but that song's really good. So it's all good.
I'd rather listen to all of those five albums in a row than listen to one Justin Bieber song for 2.5 minutes. Tom Cruise, may make a movie that I may go see right now.
Wow.
I know, because you know I hate him ever since the crazy couch jumping Scientology, since that crazy moment. Right. I just can't do it. However, he's going to reprise his Les Grossman role from Tropic Thunder in a spinoff. And you know I don't like to give him props, but that character made me laugh. That was probably one of the best parts of that whole movie. Paramount and MTV Films have announced they're developing a movie around Les Grossman, the foul-mouthed movie producer played by Tom Cruise in Tropic Thunder. Cruise recently reprised the character at the MTV Movie Awards, shaking his junk in his trunk with J-Lo. By the way, J-Lo, seriously, stop
Didn't see.
Oh, yeah.
She not hot? She used to be hot.
She's into a lot of bodysuits with the camel toe.
Oh.
And it's not good. She's been doing that a lot.
Yeah. Woo! Tom Cruise will produce the movie, as will Ben Stiller. And here's a quote from Ben Stiller. Les Grossman's life story is an inspiring tale of the classic human struggle to achieve greatness against all odds. He has assured me he plans to, quote, effing kill the S out of this movie and make Citizen effing Kane look like a piece of crap home movie by the time we are done. I am honored to be working with him.
That's great.
So we'll look forward to that.
I understand your feelings about Tom Cruise, and a lot of people can't separate the person from the actor once they get to a certain level.
Yes.
But he's still a very talented actor, and I think he's a very gifted comedic actor as well. You don't think there's any chance Night and Day might be good?
Not that particular movie. It doesn't look good to me.
Yeah, the movie doesn't look good to me either.
I think it might be good.
I think he's a good action figure still.
Yeah.
But there is that, hey, that's crazy Tom Cruise trying to play a role, which takes you out of the movie.
It's difficult.
When he's doing that, when he did that role, I was thinking, hey, this is
Tom Cruise doing. You're down here. I'm up here. Okay, stop it. Stop it, dude.
But were you thinking like I was? That's funny that this is Tom Cruise doing this character. Like, that's not what you want to think when you're watching a movie.
Yes, absolutely.
You want to be taken into the story not think that's Tom Cruise.
That's
true. But.
All right, more importantly, Britney Spears has an issue with clothing.
Yeah.
She's allergic to cotton.
She is.
Britney Spears' bodyguard claims she walks around nude and sexually harasses her employees. Well, damn straight, you guys do. I mean,
that's what you do
as a boss, right?
Wait a minute.
Britney Spears' top bodyguard has quit.
Now get down on your knees. What?
The troubled singer sexually harassed him. Ex-cop, former cop, by the way, Fernando Flores, told Pals that Britney often paraded around naked in front of him and beckoned him into her bedroom. He is now
leave Britney alone!
But this is not new behavior for Britney. I don't know if you remember when she was picked up for her 5150 and the cops tried for hours getting inside her house. And then when they did, she was just in her underwear and they tried to throw a sweater on her. And she screamed at them, don't cover me up. I'm effing hot. Do you remember that?
I don't remember that.
No.
I mean, I remember the incident, but I don't remember her saying that.
Me neither.
She used to be effing hot.
Yeah. Apparently, Fernando just couldn't take it. He handed in his notice last week and is considering legal action. So, Britney Spears.
What about her?
Just go to Costco, stock up, some bras and panties, something super
new
cheap.
New pictures today of her without a bra.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
There's
two kids out of there, girlfriend. Put some underwire underneath that, all right? Heidi and Spencer are broke.
Awesome.
How can they be broke?
Wait, I'll tell you how.
You just said they just got a check for $600,000.
And it's gone, just like that. Apparently, the two ranked in $165,000 total to appear in each episode of The Hills, and now they're living on credit. A close friend claims they are completely broke, their income has dropped, but their spending habits have not.
Heidi
has never met a designer bag she didn't love, and Spencer spends all his money on gadgets, night vision equipment, and telescopes.
And crystals.
So, here's a breakdown. Ready?
Wait, night vision equipment?
In 1 year, in 365 days, they spent $2 million on Heidi's music.
Yeah, remember, they financed that album themselves because it was so horrible, no one would pay for it.
They spent $500,000 on cars.
Okay.
They gave 30 grand to Heidi's family to help with their mortgage,
okay,
which is actually one nice thing. But then they spent $500,000 on crystals.
Yes.
And $400,000 to hire ex-Marines as their bodyguards.
Oh, please.
Are you effing kidding me?
Spencer believes those crystals are the, you know, healing crystals.
If you're an ex-Marine, okay, and, you know, you were watching Clinton and Bush, you know, maybe Obama, and now...
Well, that's Secret Service, but...
But still, I mean, you were working for the president, and now you're dealing with Spidey?
Yeah.
I would get hired by them, then shoot them and say, oh, sorry.
Take them out.
I don't believe that rundown, by the way. I do believe they're extravagant spenders, but I think it would almost be impossible to spend $500,000 on crystals. I think you'd own every crystal in the world if you spent $500,000.
Have you seen his neck? It's completely covered. And finally, happy birthday to my girl, first daughter, Sasha Obama. Woo!
I love her so much. I love the first daughter.
I don't know how
Why do you love her? She's nine. Why do you love her?
She hasn't done anything.
I want to hang out with her and go to American Girl, okay?
Wow. All right.
Okay.
I am Alex. That is your Showbiz Beat.
Yes, you.
Bad times for USC Trojans fans. Of course, that'll have ripple effects all over college football next season. We'll talk to Petros Papadakos. He used to play for the Trojans in just a few minutes about what the new sanctions mean. Ralph Garman is out today, but I did want to give a plug. If you would like to hang out with Ralph and raise money for a great cause, you know we've been trying to help out Kevin and Bean listener Annabelle Ward. She's the poor, unfortunate lady. She and her daughter were hit by a car in a hit-and-run accident a year and a half ago or so. Ralph and his wife witnessed it, and we've been trying to do all sorts of different things to kind of raise her money. She's already lost her job. She's lost her home. She's lost her car. And the listeners have been phenomenal about going to KevinBean.com and donating. And other listeners who have products that they think can help, like the scooter store and places like that, have come forward and really helped Annabelle a lot. Well, Ralph had another great idea, and he has teamed up with the good people at DJ's Universal Comics in Studio City. They have decided to have a grand reopening at their new location this Sunday, June 13th. The entire day's sales, they're going to donate 10% to Annabelle and her daughter.
That's cool.
So if you love comic books, like Ralph does. They got a great selection of new comics and back issues and collectibles, and he's going to be down there with your fellow comic nerds on Sunday from noon until 3 o'clock. Noon till 3 at DJ's Universal Comics, which is on Ventura Boulevard where Tujunga meets Ventura, upstairs in Unit 9. Studio City, California. Doors open at 11. Ralph will be there at noon. And we do have this information up at KevinBean.com. If you want to go by, meet Ralph and, you know, buy some comic books, help out a small business, and also have proceeds going to a great cause. Please check it out. Thanks.
So, Bean, you never watched The A-Team when it was on?
You know, I was television challenged in the 70s and 80s. Didn't really own a TV in the 70s and 80s. So I've heard about a lot of these shows that I've never seen. But from what I understand about the A-Team, it was almost impossible to find them. If you had a problem, you had to go to such extraordinary lengths to get the information out to them that you better hope that you're still alive by the time they return your call.
That was my favorite thing, was that they're former special forces, and they were convicted for a crime they didn't commit, so they escaped. Now they're now they're on the land. They're running from the government. So if you have a problem, and you can find them. Now, this is something the government can't do. But if you, Lisa, are having a personal problem and you can find the A-Team, maybe, they say in the intro, you could hire them. Maybe.
But what if you have a time-sensitive problem, like you've got a guy trying to kill you with a rocket or something like that? What do? You put an ad in the paper and hope that somebody from the A-Team happens to see it?
I don't know. They never explained how they were found.
No, they never do.
It was
I think you just tell a person who tells a person who tells
Right, and then somebody knows a guy who knows a guy who was in touch with the A-Team, and they were special forces, so when they came in, you know, they could make hell holy hell for people.
They took care of business.
Let's hear the let's hear the theme of the original show, because this is just the best intro ever.
In 1972, a crack commando unit was sent to prison by a military court for a crime they didn't commit. These men promptly escaped from a maximum security stockade to the Los Angeles underground. Today, still wanted by the government, they survive as soldiers of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can hire the A-Team.
That's a lot of hoops to jump through.
Yes.
It is.
I've got problems.
So you have problems, and no one else can help you. So you've exhausted all of your options, and you can find them. Then maybe you can hire them.
The show was an enormous hit back in the 80s. And by the way, there are a lot of people. Remember the controversy over who was going to play B.A. Baracus, right? Because, you know, Mr. T wanted the job. Mr. T is still alive. Looks, God bless him, looks exactly the same as he did back in the 80s. He was ready to play it. But instead, they went with a younger guy. Quentin Rampage Jackson plays B.A. Baracus. So it looks like a fantastic cast. Bradley Cooper is in the movie. And we're very excited to welcome back to the program Mr. Charlto Copley. He is playing the pilot, the gifted pilot and certified loon, H.M. Murdoch. H.M., of course, stands for Howlin' Mad. Charlto, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
I'm awesome, man. How are you guys? Thanks for having me on.
The last time we talked to you was about District 9.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And you were telling us how you got that starring role because you were not an actor. That was bizarre. And you were so great in that movie.
Oh, thank you.
And you turned into the alien, your hand, and you were running from the cops. Sort of the same thing as the A-Team. kind of the same little theme.
You most of all never expected to have a big-time Hollywood movie career, but here you are as one of the anchors of the A-Team, which a movie is a beloved franchise that a lot of people have been waiting for. Tell me how and why you ended up being Murdoch in the A-Team, Charlto.
Well, the A-Team was actually my favorite show as a kid, I have to say. It was massive down in South Africa.
I had an A-team gang at school. I had all the action figures, all sorts of crazy stuff. And incidentally, Murdoch and BA were my favorite characters.
Okay, I'm sorry. I thought you said that you had an A-team gang at school.
Yes, you heard correctly.
What the hell?
Yeah, and it gets better. I started the gang with three other guys, and we're playing A-team. And then another group of kids in the class copy my idea, and they said, no, they've also formed the A-team.
Oh, those bastards.
So we challenged. I was like, look, there's no way that we can both be having 18 gangs in the same class. We're like 10 years old. So we challenged them to a fight. And in those days, you used to go down to the rugby field and fight if there's a problem. You know,
right.
Guys, you got a problem? We go down there, we sort it out, whoever wins. So we said, whoever wins the fight, you know, gets to be the 18. The loser walks away and plays some other gang. We went, we had the fight, we won, and I had an A-team gang for about the year of my life.
That's the best story ever.
That's unbelievable. So when the Hollywood casting call went out, or, you know, the bat signal goes in the sky, or however it works in your business, did you contact the Hollywood producers and say, you guys don't understand, I really have to be in this movie?
No, bizarrely, Jules Daly, one of the producers, saw me in District 9 in an early screening, and she said, somehow, she knew nothing about me. She just knew Neil Blomkamp, who had directed the film. She called Neil. She said, hey, we're really interested in this guy for Murdoch. We're struggling to find Murdoch. Bizarrely, I was still on the publicity tour for District 9. So what I did was, I read the script. I didn't really respond to the way they'd written Murdoch in the script. So what I did was, I put myself on camera. I shot a series of scenes in my hotel room in Texas that I called Things That Could Happen to Murdoch in a Hotel Room. And I improvised.
Really?
I improvised with props in the room. I didn't have any other actors. And I sent him about 8 minutes of different scenes and different setups that I'd improvised. And I said, look, Joe, if you're keen to have me play the role like this and bring the role closer to the original Murdoch, bring back, you know, doing different accents, which they had taken out, and some impersonations,
wow.
You know, I would love to do it, and thankfully he agreed. And you know, a couple days later, I was on a plane. You know, I actually cut short the District 9 publicity tour and went and joined the guys in Vancouver.
Little did they know they were going to an A-team expert who used to be in an A-team gang.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Now, is the I'm curious as to what's been updated for the film. For instance, is the backstory still the same on your character, that you're a little bit crazy, a little bit mentally ill?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that was, as with the original show, it was never successfully proven whether Murdoch was actually insane or whether he was putting it on or whether it was a combination of both. That has not changed. He's still an amazing pilot. That has not changed. In fact, Murdoch has changed the least of all the characters. As a fan, I can confidently say that. I felt that he dated the least, you know, when I watched the original show. Now, I was keen to play that character because I learned through this process that Dwight had actually invented Murdoch. He'd been written way more conservatively, and Dwight himself had added the different accents, the impersonations, to the role.
Wow.
So I just really, I try to stick actually very closely with my specific character. Joe updated all sorts of stuff with the rest of the cast, and you know, the story is now set for Iraq and Afghanistan rather than Vietnam. And this is an origin movie, so this actually deals with a lot of things that the TV show never dealt with.
Oh, interesting. And the reference you make to Dwight, that's the actor Dwight Schultz, who played the original Murdoch back in the series. Now, what has his reaction been to the new film?
I don't think he's seen the film yet. Unfortunately, he couldn't make the premiere. He was busy. He really wanted to. He saw my test that I had done, and he was giggling and laughing the whole way through. He turned to me, man. He had he was teary eyed. He gave me a hug and he said, "You are Murdoch." And he put out on his website, "Murdoch is dead. Long live Murdoch." And it was the greatest compliment for me. It was one of the most moving moments of my life, because it really did mean a big deal to me, as you know, as a kid growing up and being inspired to.
Yeah.
That's actually how I landed District 9. Was Neil knew that I my whole life that I had done different characters, and so I owe a lot to Bob.
How about
unbelievable.
That?
You have a very charmed life. This is the voice of actor Charlton Copley on the phone. We're talking about the A-team that opens up everywhere tomorrow. It's just a very short clip from the movie, but you'll get an idea of the sense of humor that Mr. Copley brings to the role. Listen to this.
This is no hospital.
Everybody's met Mr. Murdoch.
Met him. He lit my arm on fire.
All right.
That's all I need to know. All right, last question for you, Charlotte, and that is, one of the things that people always talk about when they're thinking fondly back to the A-Team is that there was a lot of violence, but nobody ever really got hurt. Is somebody actually going to take a bullet in this new movie, or do you manage to, does everybody remain unscathed again?
People die.
Yes!
All right. Wow.
Yes!
Wow.
Yes.
I'm excited. For the 21st century.
Charlotte, my last question is, you're from South Africa. Are you there for the World Cup? Your movie opens on the same day as the World Cup.
Yeah, I mean, they're not opening it worldwide on that day for that reason, but apparently you guys in America are not so big into soccer, so...
really? Yeah, so they said Americans won't care, we'll open it then?
Literally. They were like, well, you know, the World Cup is sort of a non-event in America. 11th of June is cool. I was flipping out. I'm like, you've got to be joking. Like, don't worry.
Yeah.
Don't worry. America doesn't care about this game.
Yeah.
But we'll be fine. But I'm totally going to take a break from whatever I'm doing to watch the opening game in South Africa versus Mexico. We have a really good chance of winning that game, which to me is like, that may as well be a World Cup final because, you know, the odds that we go any further are virtually zero. So I'm really rooting for South Africa in that opening game. It's going to be like my World Cup final game.
Well, I'd like to suggest that there's time for both this weekend.
There you go. Excellent idea.
I'm excited about the World Cup as well, but the A-Team is in theaters, so I'm going to have to make
that. That's right. All right, folks, go see it. Open it up everywhere in the United States tomorrow. Charlotte, thanks a lot for being back on the Kevin and Bean Show, man. We really appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me on, guys.
Couldn't be more sports happening this week. My head is about to explode. Game 4, NBA Finals tonight. Of course, last night was the finale of the Stanley Cup.
One of the more unusual finishes, but it's a goal. The Stanley Cup to the Chicago Blackhawks.
World Cup starts tomorrow in South Africa. And on top of all that, now I got to start thinking about college football. What the hey is going on? Here's the headline from the Los Angeles Times. USC could lose title, scholarship, bowls. Let's find out what's going on. Our friend Petros Papadakis joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, P, how are you, man?
What's poppin', boys? Do you hear me okay? I'm at the L.A. airport about to leave on vacation, and the biggest story in the history of USC football, or at least the most negative one, hits. But don't worry, they're not going to leave without me, for God's sake.
I'll bet they will, first of all. But
I'm a sports talk radio analyst. I'm a college football maven. They can't leave without me. I'm Petros Papadakis. I'm on cable TV.
Petros used to play at USC, for those of you that don't know. Tell us, in a short amount of time before your plane leaves, what's happening?
My wife is so angry right now. You guys cannot imagine.
I know. Let's make it. We'll make it
this
quick.
This is not how any woman wants to see her husband start his vacation on the phone with a couple of yahoos. That's for sure.
It's probably the first of many today, but I'm glad you guys got a hold of me. This is awful, guys. I mean, it couldn't have been much worse for USC. They got hit with NCAA probation. It features scholarship reductions, a forfeiture, loss of games, 2-year bowl ban. That's the most severe sanction. They're going to appeal these. They're probably, it's going to be an 11 a.m. press conference at Heritage Hall at USC, but the appeal process could hold up or some or all of the enforcement of these penalties for a couple years. But this is the worst thing ever. It's really embarrassing for USC. They put together that 7-year stretch of you know, just unbelievable victories. That's how I met you guys, you know, because they were doing so well. I mean, 82-9, 2 national titles, 3 Heisman trophies, but a lot of that is tainted right now. And it's hard. I'm not going to lie. It's hard for a lot of SC people. My wife went to SC, my dad, my brother, my mom, my grandparents. I mean, people are emotionally devastated.
And this is for two reasons, right? Reggie Bush and ex-basketball player O.J. Mayo both took money or bribes or whatever.
This is Reggie, basically. O.J. Mayo was only there for 1 year, and USC tagged themselves with basketball sanctions, and the NCAA is not going to further enforce any kind of sanctions against the basketball program. This is football. I mean, this is Reggie Bush and the money that his family was taking. He took a house in cash worth well over $600,000, an upscale San Diego freaking house, guys. I mean, people buy guys steaks for free, you know, and that's an NCAA violation. This
right.
family was living in a freaking house. Now, I didn't know that they could somehow link USC with knowledge of that, but clearly with this penalty, the NCAA has some kind of smoking gun or two on USC, and I'm sure they'll release their findings eventually, but this could not have been worse for the University of California.
Help me understand, what can they do? A guy like Reggie Bush, who obviously is a pro now, he's, you know, they can't touch him. But what can they do to the records that he set, to the Heisman Trophy that he won, to the games that they won? I mean, do they just is all that evaporate now? It didn't happen.
Well, the Heisman Trophy is a separate entity, and so is the BCS. So their own committees. The Heisman Trust is the committee that handles the Heisman. I mean, guys, this is unprecedented. No Heisman Trophy winner has ever found to be a tainted player.
Wow.
Eric Dickerson was the last guy who really had a lot of problems as a huge name, but he didn't win the Heisman. So Reggie's Heisman will be reviewed by the Heisman Trust and could get pulled. And you know what? It probably should get pulled. And Pete Carroll's role in all this has been one of kind of plausible deniability, like, you know, how would we know? And I kind of agreed with that, but the NCAA penalties obviously show that they didn't buy his story, and now he's with the Bean's beloved Seahawks.
Do you think that's
$7 million a year? He's long gone.
Do you think that's why he left?
No. I mean, well, I'm not sure, but it couldn't be, because, guys, this investigation's been going on since like 2006.
Right, but he had to get a gut for maybe the direction it was going.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I mean, none of us did. None of us did. I mean, I'm still trying to sort it out in my mind. I mean, it's a great question, and everybody's asking me. But, you know, let's look at that success, that legacy of incredible success that USC has had. I mean, that's really strongly compromised by this episode, regardless, you know, if SC's appeal has any impact or not. I mean,
it is compromised on one hand, in that the team, the school didn't play fair like all the other schools did. But it's not compromised on the fact that the coach really was that good, the players really were that good, and they did fairly win those games. It's just that the player happened to be ineligible.
You're absolutely right, guys. And, you know, how much can you put this on USC? I mean, this is one kid, you know, whose family is taking all kinds of extra benefits, and he's ignored this. I mean, Reggie could have come clean 4 years ago.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely.
And talk about this and say, look, this is what I did. I want to tell the truth. You know, my family did this. It's just not going to hurt him either way. He's already in the NFL. You know, he's already making money. He's already a Super Bowl champion
now,
with the New Orleans Saints. You know, he could have come clean and really lessened this blow. Reggie Bush is going to be like OJ around USC. I mean, he's going to be persona non grata. And what does this mean for Pete Carroll? I mean, is he going to want to come on Money and I show and talk about the Seattle Seahawks? I mean, people are pissed in Southern California.
Yeah,
I know you got to go. Thank you so much. I know you're getting on a plane, but I have to
ask. I'm on AM Sports Talk Radio. They're going to hold this plane forever.
I have to ask this question, Petras, because you, as a former Trojan, tell me what it's like to be one of those kids today who realizes, as if you know, all of these sanctions hold, hey, we could win out the next season and we're not going to a bowl game. Is it really fair to those kids who had nothing to do with Reggie Bush?
No, it's not fair, you know, and the NCAA doesn't really always operate on a fair basis. And, you know, guys, we've talked about it 1,000 times. There's a great level of hypocrisy in college sports. But the truth is, you know, the USC can't get away with this, and the NCAA can't let him get away with this.
Yeah.
This guy had a house, you know, $600,000 worth of stuff. That's unheard of, guys. The worst this has been since SMU had this in the mid-'80s, if you guys remember that. Yeah, I mean, this is the worst NCAA penalty since then. So, I mean, it's an amazing, amazing development, and it's really hard for those kids. To answer your question fairly, it's an effing nightmare for the guys that have signed there and are playing there and are elite athletes. But at the same time, you know, it's not a TV ban. I mean, they're still going to be out there, and, you know, they'll probably get the appeal whittled down to 1 year. And if it's 1 year, it's not going to hurt USC as badly. 2 years, though, I mean, in the world of college football, 2 years is like a lifetime.
Yeah,
I mean,
understood.
That's a really long time.
All right, P, listen, take your beautiful bride, get on that plane, go to Hawaii, and just promise me you won't tweet any photos of you with your shirt off for the next week, okay?
I'm looking good. We're going to get a nice side boob twit pic for you later this
afternoon. Can't wait. Very excited.
All right, P, you're the best, man. Thanks for coming on the Kevin DeBeach Show, as always.
Fight on and aloha.
By the way, they ruled at Weenie Rose.
Oh, they were great. Yeah,
she's an amazing, amazing singer.
Yep.
It's the world-famous K-Rock at 8:47.
You're not the only one who was disappointed that her top stayed on, by the way.
Hey, give you a chance to go to Lollapalooza, if you can believe it, coming up next half hour here on the Kevin DeBeach Show. We'll tell you about that. First, though, it is Thursday. That means we've got a brief minute to catch up with our old friend, Dr. Drew Pinsky, who joins us on the Kevin DeBeach Show right now, of course, the host of the nationally syndicated Loveline Show. How are you, Doctor?
Hey, guys.
Hi, Dr. Drew.
I got to tell you, the way they were framing this thing at Weenie Roast on Saturday was as if the Middle East peace negotiations were going on. Man, cameras everywhere, hoping to get you and Lindsay Lohan in the same place at the same time. What was going on in your head, Doctor?
Isn't that crazy? It was either a peace negotiation or sort of a WWF fight. I think that's more what they were looking for.
That was awesome. I was like, what is Dr. Drew going to do? Hide in a tree and jump out when he sees her? Stop it. What's wrong with you people?
Well, I heard producer Ann, the producer of Loveline, was contacted that she was coming. I said, great, I'll try to actually meet her finally and, you know, reach out my hand and apologize if I've caused her any distress. That certainly wasn't my intention, and see who she is. And she didn't show up. However, guys, she did show up at the MTV Movie Awards.
Yeah.
And you were there also.
Well, and MTV, in their infinite wisdom, positioned her, seated us 10 feet apart.
Yeah, that's what
awesome.
I would have done.
And I thought, okay, well, fine. This is my Weenie Roast moment, and I'll say hi. She disappeared within about 2 seconds. My wife said she had a look of both fury and terror just before she left.
So she saw you, and she thought that the guards were going to come get her and take her to rehab?
I don't know. I really don't. But I the rumor is she insisted on another seat. And
oh, my God.
Honest to goodness, I just would be very intrigued to meet her and say, look.
But what's really funny, though, Dr. Drew, is for folks who maybe didn't hear the story, it's not like you were out there bashing Lindsay. All you did is say, look, if I'm a parent, I do anything I can to get my kids some help, even if it means busting them on drugs and getting them arrested. If that's what it takes to get them clean, it's better than them dying. And don't you think most parents feel that way?
I think they feel that way, and I have, on the record, I've been explicit with my kids that that's how it would go down if they got in trouble. I think a lot of people don't understand two things, which is that, first of all, you can get the courts to mandate treatment. I mean, if you beg for that, they will mandate long-term treatment. Jessica Sierra, remember her from season one of Celebrity Rehab?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Is alive today because I went down to Florida and did that, and they mandated a year of treatment, and she is fantastic right now. And a lot of parents just think they have to keep saving their loved ones from the legal system, which the legal system can help you. And not only that, even if they don't get mandated treatment, I'll tell you what, a lot of my patients find recovery in prison. That's where they find it. And I don't think it's a good thing. I wouldn't recommend that, but it doesn't hurt.
So somebody asked if she was your daughter, well, how would you handle it? You answered how you would handle it if she was your daughter.
Exactly.
She got angry. Now you've apologized.
Exactly. But here's the deal. It's not like I've actually apologized. I'm just saying, you know, if I cause her distress, I would like to apologize to her. And I noticed the entertainment shows last night were running my mea culpa. Well, I thought, really? That's what I mean? Come
on. Yeah, like you're on your knees sobbing. No, please forgive me.
Falling on my sword, ladies and gentlemen. Here I go.
All right. Let me ask you one more question, Dr. Drew, because we're terrible masters of the clock and we're already almost out of time. But we had to ask. I'm sure you've had some experience.
Well, yeah, exactly. Mike, before, because there's a problem with him. Before you guys run.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay. I'm sure you have had some experience with patients who have had to wear the court mandated alcohol bracelets, the SCRAM bracelets. Yeah. Right. Now, and Lindsay is saying that same night that you saw at the MTV show, the SCRAM bracelet went off. It ended up, her bail had to be increased. She says, and she's been tweeting furiously, I didn't drink. There's no way. There's something wrong with the machine. What's the real story on something like that? I know you can't speak specifically to Lindsay's ankle, but is it possible for there to be a mistake on a SCRAM bracelet?
Not a mistake, but it actually will trigger if people are around alcohol. If you remember, Andy Dick wore one for a year and a half, and he sometimes, if he had to go, he would very carefully stay away from environments where there was alcohol because he didn't want it going off. And if he had to go somewhere, he would actually call his parole officer of the court and say, look, here's what's about to happen. And, you know, I'll call you if I think it's going off or whatever. And they're usually cooperative about it. But here's the bottom line is she shouldn't be going into those environments.
Right,
of course.
That kind of stuff. So, and that's how she got – she wore a SCRAM braces one before, and that's how she got in trouble last time.
Is it
but you're telling me
– can't they tell the difference, though? Can
no,
they can't.
No. It just goes or it doesn't go, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So you mean alcohol in the room, basically, just in the air, can make your SCRAM bracelet go off?
Alcohol in cologne can make it go off. You have to be very careful with it. And you've got to – she needs to be in contact with the people that are monitoring it, and that's where she's falling
well, that
down.
Seems,
she knows that.
That seems much more likely then that she could get out of this.
Yeah, that's why they didn't bring her in prison. They said, all right, fine. Well, we're not clear. We're not sure. So we'll just up your bail.
I see. All right.
Fascinating. Dr. Drew Pinsky, smartest man in the world.
Yes.
I'm
yes.
not going. Psycho right. Mike.
Psycho Mike, yes.
I'm missing you guys. He's depressed.
He's on vacation.
He comes into Loveline every night and go, I'm so sad. I sit at home crying. Every morning I have nothing to do. What are we going to do with this
he
guy?
He works late at night and then comes in and does our show. And we're like, look, take a week off. 1 week. Like,
yeah, he was dying.
We had to force him to take a week off.
And now he sits at home, like, looking at sharp objects, wanting to hurt himself.
Wow.
He feels rejected by you guys. He's severely depressed. Such a workaholic. Oh, my God.
I find that funny.
He is. I know. But listen.
we're going to tell him to take another week off.
you're going to see Mike tonight. Let's really screw with him. Tell him that the show has never been going better. We don't miss him at all. And take as much time as he wants.
I'll tell him. Done and done.
All right.
A new guy named well-adjusted Mike Stefano.
Exactly. Dr. Dre, you're the best, man. Thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thank you, Mike.
Coming up right after the top of the hour, by the way, we are giving away a trip to Chicago for a couple of Kevin and Bean listeners to see Lollapalooza. Soundgarden's back together, Green Day, Devo, Cypress Hill, The Strokes, Arcade Fire, and more. That is on the way from the Kevin and Bean Show. Real quick, Ralph is out today. We are taking a look at the Showbiz Beat. I got two interesting stories for you, both sort of related to do with American Idol. First, Simon Cowell killed a girl over the weekend. Did you hear about this?
Didn't happen.
She was 5 years old. She had cancer and was dying. And her only wish in life was to meet Simon Cowell and sing for him. So apparently Saturday, he had the little girl come down to Britain's Got Talent finals, where she was able to sing, 5 years old now, able to sing Twinkle Twinkle Little Star to him and meet her idol Simon Cowell. 4 days later, she was gone.
Did he tell her that she sucked? That was awful. That was terrible.
That is what I'm waiting to find out. I mean, it's tough to tell the way this article is written, whether he was really, really nice to her and made her dreams come true and she died a happy little girl, or whether she would have lived to be 70, but he crushed her so hard at age five that she just went home, curled up in a ball, cried, and died.
I don't watch that show, but he seems good with little kids.
I think he was perfectly nice.
Yeah. I think he was probably doing everything he could to make the little girl's dream come true. And the other story, just tangentially related to Simon, is a lot of people were speculating, hey, what's up with this past season of American Idol? It's still a monster hit on television compared to most other shows. I mean, it's still getting, 15 million people or whatever it is watching, but it's not where it was a few years ago. Some people said maybe it was the talent pool was a little thin. Some people said hard to believe, but maybe they missed Paula. Well, here's a theory I hadn't thought of, according to The Hollywood Reporter. Gary McCullough is his name. He is claiming that the slippage in American Idol's ratings this past season were due to their hiring a gay judge. Ellen DeGeneres, just making people all over the country reach for their off knob, according to Gary. Here's the quote. It actually drives away a significant market share of parents and teens who used to watch the show together until mom and dad decided that the subtle promotion of a, quote, alternate lifestyle, end quote, to their kids was not worth the entertainment trade-off. So,
does she wear a sign that says "I'm gay"?
Can
on
I
the
just
show?
Have to, do people? Can you catch gayness from watching TV? Honestly, I mean, do you think they're going to go, "Wow, she looks gay, so I'm going to like someone of the same sex"? It doesn't even make sense.
I'm not sure exactly what the fear is, and I saw enough of this year's American Idol to know that Ellen was not out there begging girls to turn lesbian. She wasn't promoting her alternate lifestyle, right? She was really out there talking about the contestants and their singing. I can't imagine that there were a lot of homes where they stopped watching American Idol because they got a gay on the show.
If they didn't stop...
It might be best if you just let it go, okay?
That's our message to them.
If they didn't stop because of Ryan, they're not stopping because of Ellen.
That's a fantastic point, Lisa. And by the way, Mr. McCullough goes on to say, and this is the next step in some people's minds, well, perhaps next we'll see a pro-pedophilia group, NAMBLA, using its influence in Hollywood to have Dancing with the Stars seat Roman Polanski as a judge, because we all know that gays are the same as pedophiles rapists.
Who's this dude? Where's he from?
He's Gary McCullough is his name. He's quoted in the Christian Newswire in a story that was picked up by Hollywood Reporter, but it doesn't say what he does, if he's a pastor or what the deal is. But come on, Ellen's never hurt anybody.
He's not very educated. I've watched
her daytime talk show before, and I think I'm still straight.
All right.
Well, we'll test that.
Today's celebrity birthday is one of the hottest women in the world, former model and occasional actress Liz Hurley turns 44 years old today. Actress Lily Sobieski is 28. Jeannie Triplehorn is 47 today. Gina Gershon, 47. Faith Evans, the first lady of hip hop, turns 37 years old today, and little Sasha Obama turns 9. And that is the Ralph Showbiz. If I've said it once, I've said it a million times. God bless Axe Rise Morning Shower Gel. How many times have you heard me say that over the years, here, Kevin? The guys at Axe understand it's important to pay attention to the details when it comes to dating. That's why they came out with Axe Rise Morning Shower Gel, so you can wake up and stay alert. What they've been doing for us this week is helping clueless Kevin and Bean listeners who may be having trouble dating and hooking them up with the ultimate blind date. Every single day this week on the show, we're giving away a trip to see another fantastic music concert, a festival somewhere else outside of Southern California. Today, how about Chicago for Lollapalooza? Soundgarden, Green Day, Devo, Cypress Hill, The Strokes, Arcade Fire, AFI, Phoenix, Metric Spoon, an unbelievable lineup, and you get to go. A guy and a girl get to go. What are we calling this game?
We're calling this game Kevin and Bean Wake Up
Call. I'll wake you up, and then you'll go. You will go see a rock and roll. Show.
Now, we've played this many times, and we're okay with you'll go see a show.
I do try to block it out of my mind. That's why I can never remember what it's called.
I'll wake you up, and then you go. But you don't have to go a solo.
And a solo we're good with.
Wow. I'll wake you up, and then you go.
It's time for Kevin and Bean's Wake Up Call.
Thanks to everyone who entered at KevinAndBean.com to play. The bachelor today who gets to choose from among the ladies we'll meet is named Grant. He is on the Super Ticket Red Line, and he joins us now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Grant, welcome to the program, my friend. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Kevin, Bean, Lisa May.
Good morning.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, we're going to talk to three girls and let you pick. Grant is 23. He's a student in Corona.
Okay.
Grant, you is this true? You had a woman leave you for another woman? That's part of what you told us when you entered the contest?
I went over to her house, and I was showing up with a couple flowers for our anniversary, and it turns out that the girl wasn't for my anniversary present, but for her own. So.
Oh, you thought it was a threesome for 1 second, just for a split second, and then she said, sorry, this is my new lover?
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, how much are you not getting the job done when you are replaced with someone without a penis?
You know, it's embarrassing because you can go out to bars out in Fullerton stuff and just look at girls that want to hook up and end up just drinking yourself down.
Great. You sound like a winner. I'm glad we picked you.
All right, Grant. Well, listen up. We're going to have three ladies for you to choose from. First up is going to be Shannon. She is on the Super Secret Blue Line, and she joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Shannon. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
We are good.
I understand you are a hot 23-year-old blonde. Is that true?
Yeah, that is true. That's what I wrote.
That's what you wrote, or it's true, or both.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right. Listen up. Here's your question. Remember, Grant is listening in to decide who he's going to choose to take to Lollapalooza.
Shannon, tell us about your biggest missed opportunity.
Biggest missed opportunity?
With a dude.
Oh, okay. I answered this question. I'm a girl, so I don't really have any missed opportunities. But there was one time where I saw this really awesome band, and I was kind of flirting with one of the guitarists, and I saw him after the show, and I didn't have the guts to go for it.
You were going to walk up and give him your number?
Yeah.
And you panicked?
Yeah, but I totally didn't, and I should have.
You know, if you were hotter, he would have come after you. You wouldn't have had to worry about that.
That's exactly what I was saying. No, totally hot.
All right, Shannon, excellent. Thank you so much. Hang on. Let's try Ashley. She's on line 8. She is bachelorette number 2. Hi, Ashley. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Are you there, Ashley?
Hello.
Oh, hang on. That might be my fault. There we go. Hi, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Sorry about that.
All right.
It's okay.
So, Ashley, I love your quote in the entry at KevinAndBean.com. Romance is for losers. Just send me on the trip, please. So do I take that to mean you are not looking for a relationship here?
I am, I think, a little too young to be in something serious, so I'm just looking to have fun right now.
That's all right.
Okay.
All right. Nothing wrong with that. Here's your question. Listen up.
Ashley, what was your longest relationship so far, and why did it end?
My longest relationship was roughly 8 months. And it basically ended because I realized he was using me, in essence, for my car, my dog, everything else.
Wait, what about your body? Just your car?
All of that as well. But he didn't have a license. He didn't have a car. So clearly I can pick out the winner.
So you were a taxi driver, in essence.
Yes.
All right. Got it. Well, we'll see. We'll check and see if Grant has a car before this is over. Let's try Bachelorette number three. Our final contestant is Jody. She is on line 7. Hey, Jody. Thanks for hanging on. How are you?
How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
We're doing fine. I love, by the way, that you said that your biggest romantic backfire is you used to constantly call your last boyfriend by the wrong name. How did that happen?
Well, my boyfriend prior to my last boyfriend's name was Nick, and my last boyfriend's name was Rick. So it was only one letter off, but it was a constant mix-up on my part.
How long were you with? How long were you with the one you were given the wrong name to?
2 months.
2 months?
Yeah. And what kind of reaction did you get every time you accidentally called him by the wrong name?
It was constantly a fight. He's like, oh, you're still in love with him. He was always crying because I called him the wrong name. But
boys can be so touchy.
Exactly.
What a baby.
All right, Jody, good luck. Listen up. Here's your question.
Have you ever gone out on a blind date? And if so, how did it go?
Yeah, I went on a blind date that one of my best friends had hooked me up on. I had problems with one of my ex-boyfriends, and she's like, ah, screw him. So she set me up with one of her friends, and it was horrible. I had to pick him up. He didn't have a car. He didn't have a job. It was just
what's with the
really
guys with no cars?
I know. They're all looking for sugar mamas. Look, if you have a job and you can drive me around, I would like to date you. That's what they say.
Wow. Jody, is it really getting to the point, because we hear all the time from people who are trying to date in Southern California how hard it is it really getting to the point where if a guy has a car and a job, he's miles ahead of almost everyone else you meet?
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
That's amazing. All right. Well, listen, those are all three of our female contestants this time around. We got Shannon, we got Ashley, we got Jody. We talked to all of them. Let's go back to Grant now and see if he's got any idea of who he might like to take to Lollapalooza in Chicago. Grant, sounds like a nice batch. What'd you think?
Yeah, all three ladies sound lovely to go and hang out with for a little while. I don't know. I'm going to have to ask my judges for their opinions.
Who are your judges?
Oh, that's us.
Oh, us. Wow, I don't know.
I wasn't thinking in those terms. I hate to be responsible for screwing it up if the love of your life is on the line and I advise you to take somebody else. How about you, Lisa? You usually got a fantastic read on people.
I actually liked all of them. I thought they were all really cool.
I have a choice.
Do you?
Yeah.
Who do you like?
Grant, what are you looking for? You're looking for a girlfriend? You're looking for a fun weekend?
Well, good point.
Well, usually a fun weekend is
Ashley.
Great, but...
is Ashley the goer? Is that what you suggested?
Ashley said romance is for losers. Let me just have the trip.
Right.
So I'm just saying, it depends on what you're looking for with this trip.
Would be nice to find another girlfriend.
Then Jody, because she's incredibly nice, putting up with a guy with no car, no job, no anything.
I don't know that any of these girls want to date a guy who can't make up his goddamn mind, though. That's what I'm telling you is going on right now.
You got to pick,
dude. Well, I do have a car, so that's a plus.
All right. So you're going with Jody?
Yeah, we'll try it out.
Oh, man.
Yeah! Oh, he does sound excited. He does sound thrilled.
Hey, Jody, congratulations.
I think.
Cool deal.
Here's what I would suggest. I would suggest that when you get to Lollapalooza, perhaps you lose track of Grant.
Oh, that's a great idea. It's a big venue.
We're in a car center.
I'm just saying.
He'll never find you. Have a great time in Chicago. Thanks to Axe Rise Morning Shower Gel, helping you wake up and stay alert. This has been the Kevin and Bean Wake Up Call for today. I'll wake you up. Got our final look at the Showbiz Beat minutes away. Plus, we'll tell you how you can meet our own Ralph Garman this weekend and help raise money for a worthwhile cause. That is coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, how about the Afro line? 323-520-AFRO. That's our number. You call us, leave a message, we play back on the radio.
The first one is, I don't know how we found this out. It is science, though. We didn't find out that it is true. If a woman wears white pants.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Let's say that your body is your house. That means it's okay to enter in the front door. It's also okay to come in the back. So that's what this call's about.
Oh. Alita Laresca is wearing white pants. Giggity, giggity.
That is worth calling the Afrolite for. We appreciate that kind of tip. Thank you.
She's a weather forecaster, for those of you that don't recognize the name.
She's the weather forecaster.
Yes, sure. We have Omar. Take a look at Glee each week because he has an unnatural hatred for it. I don't know why. I'm not exactly sure. But he helped this guy, and I think that's good. If you help one person with the show, I mean, it's a success.
Oh, I thought you spelled gay, G-A-Y. Obviously, it's spelled G-L-E-E. Thanks for clearing that up, Omar.
Okay.
All right, thank you for the call. This is, I didn't know you had a slogan, Lisa, but okay.
Lisa made a vagina, where happy happens.
That is true.
Oh, Lisa, you have to get that tattooed on your abdomen.
I like it.
With an arrow.
I cannot wear turtleneck.
Oh.
Turtleneck.
There's our too hot to work woman.
Yes.
She said,
I cannot wear pencil skirts. I cannot wear business suits. I cannot wear turtlenecks.
Turtlenecks.
Love her. I love her and her speech a bit of it.
This dude is not as excited about The Karate Kid, perhaps, as other movies.
So I was watching TV and saw the trailer for the new Karate Kid, and apparently they have replaced wax on, wax off with jacket on, jacket off.
No,
no BS. At one point,
that's not true.
Jackie Chan yells at Will Smith's kid to jacket off.
That's
no,
nope.
no. Mm-hmm.
That's not true.
That can't be true.
That can't be true, right?
No.
That can't be true.
Derek Mother Fisher. Yeah, Derek.
See, because he said, yeah, Derek.
Right.
As if he was saying, yeah, Eric.
That's good.
Pete, I hate to ask for a switch to beat myself with, but we need Moment with Ducks and Mugs. Can't find it in a second.
Okay.
We need it in a second. First.
Don't hold hard your Miss Cleo.
I wonder what he could be talking about.
Flop them out of your bra.
Still confused. Not sure what that means. Thank you.
Hey, guys. I called and left a message earlier, but I was just searching online again, and I found another great clip. It's this interviewer asking a question, and it sort of reminded me of our boy, Kevin.
Is that so he doesn't? Are you a regular duck? Then you watch all the time him?
Is that so he doesn't? It's are you common. A regular duck? All right. Fan, you watch all the time him?
Right. That may be your greatest moment.
I think it
honestly,
really is.
I think that I'm gonna be sure to have that inscribed on your tombstone. Ralph is out today. Producer Alex is here with the Showbiz Beat. But before we get to Alex, how about a moment for our friend Ralph Gorman, if I could find the email, who is going to be doing a great event on Sunday that you are invited to. You know, we've all heard the story, the tragic story of Ralph and his wife who witnessed a horrific car accident. Hit-and-run driver ran into a Kevin and Bean listener and her daughter and just left them with debilitating injuries. Money is gone. She lost her house. She lost her car. She lost her her job. And the listeners have been phenomenal about donating money. And we've had some great offers. Alex, you've been dealing with people for the past couple of weeks who've been calling in and offering just so many different services for poor Annabelle, right?
Our audience is very creative and very loving, so I have to give them props. If you go to Cafe Press and search the AW Project, the Annabelle Ward Project, you can buy T-shirts, tote bags for her. Miss Cleo collects the mail every day. There are tons of envelopes coming from companies or private citizens. I mean, just like $5 here, $2 there. She, you know, they killed her dog. They ran over her daughter in front of her.
Yeah.
And literally, the way Annabelle says it, the Kevin and Bean audience has saved her life because she didn't know how she was going to go on before you stepped up to help. And that's why we're trying to do it again. This weekend, Ralph is going to be at DJ's Universal Comics, which is on Ventura Boulevard in Studio City, where Tahunga meets Ventura. He's going to be there starting at noon, from noon till 3. If you're a comic book geek like Ralph is, please stop by DJ's Universal Comics in Studio City, California. They are having a grand reopening of that location, and they are donating 10% of the entire day's sales to help Annabelle and her daughter. Doors open at 11. Ralph will be there at noon. We do have that information for you at kevinandbean.com. So definitely stop by. Say hi to Ralph, congratulate him on his little girl, and help out Annabelle while you're there. In the meantime, time for the Showbiz Beat now. Alex joins us.
Woohoo! Jack Johnson told Justin Bieber to shut up.
Did he say that? Because yes. I would like it if he did, but he doesn't strike me that
way. In my head, he said, Justin Bieber, not so much from you.
He seems like a nicer guy than that.
Okay, maybe he didn't technically. However, Jack Johnson's new album, To the Sea, debuted at number one on the Billboard chart, pushing Bieber and his dumbass haircut down to number two, which makes me happy. This is Jack's 5th top 10 album.
Wow.
Slow down, buddy. Take it easy.
It doesn't sound like you have the Bieber fever, as most girls do, Alex.
No, Bieber makes me want to vomit.
Okay.
That's a different kind of Bieber fever.
If he was talented, you know, maybe if he was humble, but he's a 16-year-old punk ass who needs his ass beat.
I don't know anything about him except that I thought he must have some talent or his YouTube videos would not have been such successes to point that Usher rushes to sign the guy. I mean, somebody must have seen something in the kid, right?
I think they see dollar signs. I think they see cha-ching. Mm.
They see a haircut.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what they see.
Tom Cruise has a new movie coming out. They are going to they've decided to...
Wow, paparazzi.
Rapid fire for Tom Cruise.
Needed a lot of pictures of that.
Yeah, they're going to reprise his role as Les Grossman, the insane movie producer from Tropic Thunder, which is probably one of the best roles he's done in years.
Yeah.
Cruise reprised the character recently at the MTV Movie Awards with J-Lo on stage dancing. Cruise will also produce the film along with Ben Stiller. And Ben Stiller has a great quote. He says, Les Grossman's life story is an inspiring tale of the classic human struggle to achieve greatness against all odds. Les has assured me he plans to, quote, effing kill the S out of this movie and make Citizen effing Kane look like a piece of crap home movie by the time we are done. So that should be interesting.
One of the things that's so funny about that character, and again, if you saw Tropic Thunder, you know the guy that we're talking about, is that A, it's Tom Cruise, who, you know, has this image of being the nicest guy in the world, who is so foul-mouthed and just swearing and just so mean and so heinous. And plus, he's a super good-looking guy in real life, and they made him bald, and they made him super, super hairy, and he's wearing those big glasses. It's just a total transformation. It is one of the few roles that he plays where you can kind of forget he's Tom Cruise.
And I think there are a lot of producers in this town that have done insane things like that, that unless you work behind the scenes like Tom Cruise and Ben Stiller for so long, you don't think the average audience would believe, but now they can sort of parody that insane, you know, foul-mouthed producer and get away with it and have fun.
They're going to have a strong storyline for that not to get annoying. Pretty quickly.
True. Well, yeah, it worked for MacGruber. Oh, wait.
Hold on.
Okay. Britney Spears hates clothing.
Yeah.
News at 11. Britney, I think, is allergic to rayon and cotton. She walks around nude and sexually harasses her employees. So says ex-cop Fernando Flores. He's 29 years old. Apparently, Britney, who's 28, often paraded around naked in front of him and beckoned him into her bedroom. He was one of her bodyguards.
Girls love sex. All right.
Apparently, Fernando claims she would also just run around the house naked and just yell at her staff.
She loves to be naked.
She does not enjoy a t-shirt.
Loves the nudity.
Bangkok.
Unfortunately.
I'm sorry.
Whoa. Easy there. Easy, Tiger. Unfortunately for Fernando, Britney just took a liking to him.
Uh-oh.
Maybe because he was the one guy who wouldn't look at her. And so he was put under more pressure than most of the bodyguards to, you know, have a little fun with Brit. Get down, but not so much. So he's thinking about suing her.
They also, according to that story, her dad makes the bodyguards, like, do an underwear check.
Yeah, they have a panty meeting.
Yeah.
How sad that your father has to say, could you please make sure my grown daughter is wearing underwear when she
panty
walks
check.
Out the door?
Panty check.
All right, let's go.
Lift it, girl.
You have a juice box? Okay, let's go.
Nothing we haven't seen before. Nothing we all haven't
juice
seen.
Juice box and a thong. That is just a bad visual right there.
Box.
And got it. Thank you, Rodney. And lastly, Heidi and Spencer are not good with a checking account. They can't really manage their money. Apparently, they're broke.
The story that we got yesterday was they got another check for $600,000.
They got it yesterday, and then that all went to Amex. Now they have no money. A source close to the couple claims they are completely broke. Their income has dropped since they're no longer on the Hills, but their spending habits have not. Heidi has never met a designer bag she didn't love, and Spencer spends all his money on professional night vision equipment and telescopes.
No way.
So here's the breakdown from Perez. In 1 year, they spent $2 million on Heidi's music,
Right. And then they sold like 5,000 albums.
Right. They sold two.
Right.
To us, so we could play clips of them. $30,000 went to Heidi's family. They spent $500,000 on cars and crystals. And then they spent $400,000 to hire ex-Marine bodyguards.
Oh, no.
All right.
Seriously. If you're an ex-Marine
standing
at, like, you know, Lisa Klein... trying to protect Heidi, I would shoot myself.
I would shoot myself.
That'd be
as well.
So boring.
Oh, no. Poor guy.
Stop it.
Anyway, not good. Happy birthday to Shane West. Ding. Gina Gershon.
Yeah, there it is.
Ding. And to the first daughter, the first G, OG, Sasha Obama. Hey, girl, call me. Let's party.
It doesn't work that way. Every
She's
time you
awesome.
Say call me, they don't call.
Yeah, they do. The All business right. line rings off the hook. You don't know.
All right.
You don't even know.
Right.
I am
Why
Alex.
Not?
That is your showbiz beat.
Thank you. Ralph will be back tomorrow. And on tomorrow's show, an all-new Kevin and Bean show, we have a new internet roundup for you. We have Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage, as it is Friday. We have Green Day Rock Band. We have Movie Beat. And we have Dana White from the UFC. Plus another Kevin and Bean wake-up call. So that's all tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show.
Don't go away. Kat Corbett's up next. She's got 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music, including that great new song from a silent film called You Will Leave a Mark. Stick around and hear that if you haven't. Foo Fighters 2, Rancid, Kings of Leon, Weezer, and more right after this on K-Rock.